News, the second time within a week, the King is heckled during a walkabout, this time in Lancashire. Is it time now for him to make some form of royal address? Because the story is not going away. In other news, the hero wife stopped a knife man trying to cut off the head of a soldier like Lee Rigby. Here is the moment. The army reject was arrested by Kent police.
Put your hands on your head, mate. Hand on your head. Do not move. If you move or attempt to touch me, my colleague will tase you. Do you understand?
And as nearly 100 flood warnings stay in place, exactly which part of the country, which parts are affected? Those stories and more after the 7 o'clock news.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 7 o'clock, Labour MPs have rallied around Keir Starmer after his most damaging day yet as Prime Minister. Yesterday, he faced calls from the Scottish Labour leader to resign over the Lord Mandelson scandal. But Keir told a meeting of his MPs last night that he's not prepared to abandon his mandate. Labour MP Rachel Maskell originally called for him to quit, but she's told LBC News things have changed.
I want the success of the party. I always have and always will. You know, we are here because we believe in the Labour project. We believe in the difference we can make to people's lives. And I heard that from the Prime Minister too.
Buckingham Palace says it stands ready to support the police if approached about allegations against Andrew Mountbatten Windsor. The Thames Valley Force is assessing a complaint of misconduct in public office and breach of official secrets. The latest claims suggest Andrew shared confidential information with Jeffrey Epstein while he was a UK trade envoy. Royal commentator Richard Palmer says he thinks the palace have been forced to act.
There's been a certain amount of reticence in the royal household, I think. They were trying to stick to a line from last October when Andrew was stripped of his royal titles and honours. And I think there was a growing feeling among, certainly among royal watchers, among public and perhaps among politicians, that the palace needed to say something more.
Andrew Mountbatten Windsor has previously denied any wrongdoing. The government is to spend £5 billion paying off 90% of councils' debts on special educational needs spending. Last week, most local authorities in England warned they could go bankrupt after a significant increase in demand for services. A survey suggests most graduates would vote for a political party that promised reform of the student loan system. The campaign platform Rethink Payments says 84% of people would be influenced by such policies. It comes amid a deepening row about the fairness of the system. Ministers insist it is balanced, but campaign groups warn that graduates' debt interest is spiralling. In almost 100 areas in England have been warned to expect flooding as heavy downpours continue. The warnings are in place mostly across the south, the southern Welsh border and in the East Midlands. In the city, the FTSE 100 will reopen later at 10,386. It closed up 16 yesterday. The pound buys $1.36 and €1.14. LBC weather, cloudy for most, with spells of rain falling heavy at times, drier in the south to start, a high of 13 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
Birthday coming up? On Etsy, you can find your favourite person a gift as special as they are. Celebrate stylish Julia with a cute vintage jewellery box. Or photography mad Paul with a customised leather camera strap. Or your caffeine-loving dad with a handmade pour-over coffee maker. Don't just celebrate birthdays. Celebrate one-of-a-kind people with gifts that say I get you on Etsy. Search Etsy to shop now.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning. 3 minutes after seven, Tuesday, the 10th of February. The Labour movement, the Labour Party now, looking like the gang that can't shoot straight. There were various plots and attempts. There was even reportedly meant to be some united movement involving both the leader in Scotland and Wales and possibly the London mayor, but it all fizzled out.
Operation Save the Prime Minister is now in full swing, but how much time does it buy Sir Keir Starmer? I'm LBC's Natasha Clarke with all the latest from Westminster.
In other news, I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, will remember the tragic case of Lee Rigby. Well, another attempt at that, a hero wife stopping a knife man trying to cut off a senior officer's head. Yes, you did hear that correctly. A guilty plea, so we can give you all the details, and that'll come later in the show. In other court cases...
In a case branded every parent's nightmare, a nursery worker's been found guilty of sexually abusing five children in Bristol. I'm LBC's Thea Rickard with the details.
In other news, the royal mantra, don't complain, don't explain, has lasted pretty well for centuries. But remember, that was before social media. And as the king is heckled for a second time within 7 days, some are suggesting it's time for some form of right royal address that he announces. He effectively disowns his brother that, as is indicated, he promises all assistance to any police inquiries. But we'll look at that in more detail. Is it better not to acknowledge, not to feed the media beast? And then back to court matters. The VIP abuse hoaxer Carl Beach let out of jail, almost secretly. Former Conservative MP Harvey Proctor spoke back in 2019. Beach was sentenced about the horrified false child abuse he claimed, but also suggested that this former MP, Harvey Proctor, had attempted castration with a penknife.
The Metropolitan Police going on television and saying that Mr. Beach, their star witness, was credible and true when he was a paedophile.
18 years and now he's out with no warning to any of his victims. That's later in the show.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Well, on the one hand, it's a desperately simple story, and we've seen it so many times before. It is a Prime Minister attempting to cling to power. There are certain complexities and other issues, so let's deal, as we should with all complex stories, deal with it chronologically. And the focus yesterday fell on Scotland and the leader of the Labour movement up in Scotland and his attempt, it would be, to try and defenestrate, to kick out of office the Prime Minister. LBC Scotland political editor Gina Davison has all the details and has been speaking with folk north of the border. Joins me now. Gina, good morning.
Morning, Nick. Yeah, a real moment of high drama yesterday with that emergency press conference called by Anna Sarwar. Pressure has been building on him. He would admit that in regards to his full-throated backing of Sir Keir Starmer over the last 15 months, especially as he's been watching Scottish Labour's chances of success in this May's elections really slipping further away with each opinion poll. And this scandal around the appointment of Peter Mandelson as US ambassador, his links with Jeffrey Epstein, apparently the last straw for Anna Sarwar. It was all very Shakespearean, Nick, as Anna Sarwar came out yesterday not to praise Starmer, as he normally does, but to bury him.
My first priority and my first loyalty is to my country, Scotland. And I am not willing to sacrifice Scotland's NHS, our schools, our communities, our towns, cities, villages and islands to a third decade of an SNP government. That's why the distraction needs to end. And the leadership in Downing Street has to change.
So that was the moment the dagger went in, Nick. He said he had come to the decision not without pain, given their closeness. But if he thought that announcement would start a domino effect that would see the Prime Minister gone by last night, well, then he was very wrong. The opposite appears to have happened, with Cabinet Ministers coming out in support of Sir Keir Starmer and even the Parliamentary Labour Party last night seemingly giving him their full support. Unsurprisingly, though, the reaction of Anas Sarwar's biggest rivals, the SNP, was that he had made the move out of sheer desperation. Here's the party's Westminster leader, Stephen Flynn.
The Scottish public, they ain't daft. They understand that Anas Sarwar promised them change through Keir Starmer. He was Keir Starmer's biggest cheerleader from day one until yesterday. What does that tell you about his judgment?
Yeah, questions about that today, Nick. And what about the public? What do they think? Well, we took the temperature of some people in Edinburgh just last night.
I would rather he stays so that Labour can bide their time and maybe the Green Party could get a little bit more of a footing. I am aware that if he were to resign straight away, Reform would probably have quite a good standing, which is not ideal.
I think the thing is, like, in politics nowadays, you have to do something. You can't be seen as doing nothing. And I think that's what he has done something, which is actually quite refreshing to see, and not just standing on the fence all the time and not doing something.
I do understand someone who's doing their job well should not face the consequences of something they didn't do, but it should be on everybody's mind.
So not a ringing endorsement there for either Anna Sarwar's actions or of Sir Keir Starmer, Nick. And not a huge one from Scottish Labour MSPs or MPs either. I counted just 7 of Anna Sarwar's comrades in Holyrood publicly supporting him yesterday. And lots of words have been used privately to me about what he has done, many of them being mad, wrong, crazy. But the one which appeared to be the main feeling was uttered in that parliamentary Labour Party meeting last night by MP Joanna Baxter, and that was treachery. Now, Anna Sarwar says he's done all this to put Scotland first in this election campaign, but just how it will help him at all, well, we will have to wait and see.
Just before I let you go, Gina, something you referenced early on, this is seen as a move by Mr. Sarwar to try and shore up support. Why is it, do you imagine, the SNP is enjoying a slight resurgence in the polls?
Well, I think John Swinney has put the SNP on a steadier footing, Nick. It appears to have shaken off some of the scandal that was attached to it around Nicola Sturgeon's going, and of course that trial with Alex Salmond, which he was cleared of all the charges put to him. But it did create a real feeling around the SNP that perhaps their time was up. John Swinney has steadied that ship to some extent, and I think you must always remember that there is a kind of real core support for independence Scotland, which is around the 30% mark of voters, and it would really take something to shift them when it comes to an election. So the SNP know they can count on that to a certain extent and just need to build from there, whereas Labour, as I was saying, they have slid from that high at the general election 2 years ago now to third place behind Reform, because they've also got those newcomers to deal with.
Gina Davison, LBC Scotland political editor, 11 after 7. Let's bring into the conversation Professor Sir John Curtis, political scientist and professor of politics at the University of Strathclyde. Privileged to have you on as ever, Sir John. So we have a bungled assassination and cabinet ministers effectively being marched out as a Praetorian guard. Where ultimately does that leave the PM in your view? Morning, sir.
Well, probably in much the same position as he was at 7 o'clock yesterday morning. That is somebody whose party is unpopular, somebody who is personally unpopular, and somebody whose long-term grip on his position is still highly uncertain. In the meantime, he's had to rely on his cabinet colleagues to all come out and say, yes, they want him. In the moment you have to do that, you know that there is a question mark about the future of the leader.
Does it, in a sense, Sir John, doesn't it actually make you weaker rather than stronger that you dragoon your colleagues into showing support?
Yes. It certainly means that you have called on their loyalty. You've called on them to come out in favour of you. But, of course, what is certainly true. I mean, you know, the question we were all asking after Anna Sarwar's intervention at 2:30 yesterday afternoon was indeed, was this going to be followed by others? And crucially, would it be followed by anybody inside the cabinet? And of course, the crucial thing is, and the thing that saved Keir Starmer for now, is that there wasn't. In the end, I think what we discovered is that the timeline on which Anna Sarwar and his Scottish Labour colleagues are operating is very different from the timeline that MPs and members of the cabinet are relying on. For Anna Sarwar, a disaster on May the 7th is probably the end of his chances of ever becoming First Minister. He could see himself heading towards a car crash in the Scottish election. And in those circumstances, he decided to turn the wheel of the car, not because he necessarily knew that this was going to turn things around, that he was going to get a soft landing, but frankly because wasn't quite sure what else he could do in order to try and improve his party's chances in the election. MPs and the cabinet, for them, May the 7th is a piece of evidence in the jigsaw as to whether or not eventually Keir Starmer should no longer remain Prime Minister because the Cabinet's jobs are not on the line. MPs' jobs are not on the line on May the 7th. But Anasawa's chances are, and I think, you know, that's again a crucial consideration. I think what also one need to bear in mind is this. The other key strength that Keir Starmer has at the moment is the lack of an obvious successor. There isn't anybody who one could say, well, if Keir Starmer were to have resigned yesterday, that we would have said, okay, here is X. X is somebody who can unite the Labour Party. X is somebody who is clearly popular with the wider public, particularly those who voted Labour in 2024. X is somebody who could become the next leader without a contest. We are not in that position. There isn't anybody amongst the available candidates who is clearly overwhelmingly popular amongst the people who voted Labour in 2024. All of them, Angela Rayner, Wes Streeting, etc., are basically, for every one person who thinks highly of them, who voted Labour in 2024, there's another one who doesn't. They represent different wings of the party, and the problem that the party faces is that if Keir Starmer does stand down, there would be a potentially fractious and divisive contest. And in a sense, for MPs at least, therefore, there's a good reason not to pull the trigger, at least until times are rather quieter for the party, than doing so in the middle of a by-election, and with a whole set of elections coming up at the beginning of May.
Lastly, Sir John, so I take from that you sense he, the PM, is good through May, is good until May.
Yes, I think he's certainly a good through at least until then. I mean, but, you know, we should bear in mind that, you know, this is somebody who is deeply unpopular with the wider public, a party that is in deep electoral trouble. Not that it's got any worse in the wake of the Mandelson story. Another poll out this morning, absolutely no change in Labour's rating, but that's not the point. This was never a story that was likely to do significant damage to Keir Starmer and Labour standing because it's already so low. And the point is, until that changes, and unless it changes, and if May the 7th ends up confirming the deep trouble that the party seems to be in, then you can see that thereafter there may well be moves against the Prime Minister to try and persuade him to stand down.
Always a pleasure speaking with you, Sir John. Thank you, Professor Sir John Curtis, political scientist, professor of politics at the University of Strathclyde and the nation's number one sophologist poll watcher. Would it be in the interest of the country for him to stand down? There is a state of, is it called stasis, I think, absolute lack of movement now within the civil service, because nobody quite knows who's up, who's down and who's across. The best for the betterment of the country, should he stand down? We'll continue that. But for those of you, of course, who've had enough of politics for now, there's another element from the so-called Epstein files, and that's the position or action taken by the monarch, now the king. But arguably one of the most memorable addresses to the nation from a monarch in recent times was Queen Elizabeth II's coronavirus broadcast, as it was called, back in 2020.
We will be with our friends again. We will be with our families again. We will meet again. But for now, I send my thanks and warmest good wishes to you all.
Equally grave crisis, many would say, with Andrew Mountbatten-Windsor. Does his brother, the King, need to make a right royal address? We'll discuss that later in the show. The 7:15 LBC News headlines are read by Dominic Ellis.
Sir Keir Starmer looks to be safe in his job for the time being after mounting a strong defence of his leadership. Buckingham Palace says it stands ready to support the police if it's approached about the conduct of Andrew Mountbatten-Windsor. And the government is to spend £5 billion paying off 90% of council's debts in England on special educational needs spending. LBC weather, cloudy for most with spells of rain falling heavy at times, drier to start in the south. A high of 13 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Albert Bridge remains closed both ways for the emergency repair works. It's looking very busy now northbound over Battersea Bridge, but also expect extra traffic over Chelsea Bridge as well. Two problems on the North Circular Road. Firstly, northbound at Gunnersbury Park, one lane's had to be closed because of vans broken down. And also there are delays southbound to the Redbridge roundabout at the A12. And that's where a lorry has broken down and that's causing quite lengthy queues now. Very busy on the A13 westbound to the Pitsea Flyover. And that's following an accident. On the trains, London North Western can't run between Watford Junction and St Albans Abbey. A train's broken down. And also on London Overground, there are severe delays on the Windrush line.
This is LBC.
I'm Natasha. I'm Leah, and this is my NHS story. I could just feel my body didn't feel right, and my GP referred me to the CDC. Had some blood tests done, and within 24 hours, I had my results. And that just reassured me that I was being taken seriously.
The government is opening new community diagnostic centres, with many already available 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, so the NHS can be there for all of us when we need it. Find your closest one at gov.uk/NHS Fit for the Future. Available England-wide.
Call Nick Ferrari now, 0345 6060973, LBC.
Discover the world of Dobble, back in McDonald's Happy Meal. Race through the worlds of music, sports, space and more. How quickly can your little one spot the match? Dobble's bursting with fun. Some fun, some food, it's all inside this Happy Meal. Until the 5th of March 2026, from 11 a.m. Includes one pre-selected book or toy. Dobble range comprises toys only, while stocks last.
Tesco Insurance are driving down the cost of motoring with 10% off car insurance. Take out a car insurance policy before the 15th of May 2026 and you'll get 10% off with club card prices. We offer a range of cover options so you can choose the one that's right for you. Save 10% when you buy or renew a car policy with Tesco Insurance. Search Tesco Car Insurance and get a quote direct today. Club card required. Excludes add-ons. T's and C's apply.
Buying a home on a holiday park was the retreat you always wanted. But then came unexpected site fee increases. And that was before the dramatic loss in value. If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, you may have been missold. HolidayParkAdviceCentre.co.uk could help you receive thousands in compensation. Text ASSIST to 78900. That's ASSIST to 78900.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
7:20, Alex, you'll be the first caller should the Prime Minister go for the sake of the country. Let me just quick, also we're going to catch up with events from yesterday and a look ahead from our political editor down here, Natasha Clark. Quickly, the front pages. Well, the Daily Express has that sort of theme. Resign now, PM on brink as calls to go mount. The Daily Mail cabinet bounced into giving PM stay of execution, something I was discussing with Professor Sir John Curtis there. The Daily Telegraph, streeting accused of number 10 coup. So many of these headlines swirling around. Ed Miliband will be joining us later in this hour. He'll be talking about a new initiative in the world of energy and green policy. But, of course, seeing as he's one of the runners and riders, we might put some of those allegations to him. And the two main tabloids, or the two red-top tabloids, as it were, both the Daily Mirror and the Sun go with the same story, which is the King, as in King Charles, will help cops regarding Andy. I'll be asking later in the show, although it goes against the mantra that must serve them well, century after century after century, don't complain, don't explain. Do we need to hear something from the King? Because otherwise that heckling will probably just go on. Alex, you're the caller in a moment. But Natasha Clark, LBC's political editor, joins me in the studio. OK, a little bit on what happened yesterday and a little bit on what happens today. Natasha, good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Yesterday, I think, really was the tip of the iceberg for Keir Starmer's downfall, wasn't it? So we all know that once you get that genie out of the bottle, it's really hard to put it back in. And I think Starmer this morning, looking at those front pages that you've just mentioned, he's down, he's not out yet, but he's probably pretty mortally wounded, just limping on now till the end. And as you said, the cabinet has been rallying around him. Yesterday, Westminster went into frantic overdrive after Anas Sarwar's dramatic intervention. And there was a few minutes we all were waiting, going, well, what do the cabinet think about this? Is anybody else going to follow Anas Sarwar and call for him to go? But in the end, it wasn't the end, Nick. Within just a few minutes, the cabinet machine booted into gear, a string of tweets and support from every cabinet minister. Ministers were flooding the airwaves.
He can and he should. I think it would be wrong, barely 18 months after our election, for people to think that they can just change the leader and everything will go right.
I think a lot of people have underestimated Keir Starmer for a very long time. There were people who said that he couldn't change the Labour Party, and he did. There are people who said he would never win a general election, and he did.
And of course there's been missteps over the way, but the result of that isn't to replace the Prime Minister. The result of that is for the government to rally around, the Parliamentary Labour Party to rally around, our devolved administration colleagues to rally around and try and make the case for a better country that we're determined to deliver.
That was the Tech Secretary Liz Kendall, Welsh Secretary Joe Stevens and the Culture Minister Ian Murray there. Even Wes Streeting and Angela Rayner put out their support. The Operation Fight Back, I think, Nick, was in full swing by that point. The Prime Minister then went to face his MPs at what I'm told was an extraordinary meeting of the Parliamentary Labour Party last night. Question after question from MPs about his future. A couple of words that MPs have described it to me as emotional, determined, repenting, apologetic. The Prime Minister told him he would fight as long as he had breath in his body, and he had won every fight that he'd ever had. Yesterday we spoke with the Starmer ally, Jenny Chapman. She told us it was tough, but he'd merged out from the other side.
I've never seen anything like it. I think that the PLP has taken a look over the precipice and has decided that's not what it wants to do. And MPs have been spending the weekend listening to their constituents, talking to voters, and the clear message from the British public has been, we do not want any more chaos. We don't want to do that again. We've had 5 prime ministers in 4 years under the Tories. Please don't do this. And Labour MPs are listening. And yes, they've got things they want to say. There are changes they'd like to see. But their support for Keir Starmer as prime minister was solid. It could not have been stronger.
But Nick, as we know, the storm far from over. We've got PMQs, the Mandelson files, a by-election, local elections to come. Landmines everywhere you look. The Prime Minister's won this battle, but no one in Westminster think he's going to win the war.
Quick word of one headline I went through about 5 minutes or so ago. Natasha, the Daily Telegraph, very excited. All the newspapers are, but the Telegraph putting on its front page, Streeting accused of number 10 coup. Briefly, what lies behind that?
Yeah, so last night, you know, Wes Streeting firing the first shots, essentially, in what is going to be a future leadership battle. He got his text to Lord Mandelson out. He's written a piece in defence of his relationship with him in the Guardian newspaper as well today. He promised us last week when we spoke to him on LBC that he would release whatever needed to be released. They are quite embarrassing, some of those texts. He says he fears he's toast at the next election. The government has no growth strategy. He consults Lord Mandelson about how to criticise Israel for committing alleged war crimes. I think the Health Secretary is going to be ready for that battle, Nick, when it comes.
LBC's political editor Natasha Clark reporting 7:25. Alex in Lewisham. What needs to happen next, Alex? Good morning.
Morning, Nick. I think that he's safe until the next milestone, which is the by-election, and possibly until May. And I think that the country, because that's what's really important here, not the machination.
Alex, no government department will be operating properly because they don't know who's up and they don't know who's down.
Okay, well, after yesterday, we do know that he is there, he is staying, he won that battle yesterday, that mini battle. So as things stand, he's continuing. And what I'm saying is, we'll see what happens at the next milestone, but he's safe until then. I don't see what the issue is. He's got to continue. The country is not prepared for him to suddenly resign this week. The markets will go insane. Everything will be frenzied and it'll be a complete mess. So I think it's common sense for him to stay in place until the next major milestone. And for Labour MPs on the left, if they think they're going to shoehorn one of their people in and then everything's going to suddenly be hunky-dory, then they really have another thing coming.
Alex, I like your characterisation. So he limps on to that by-election, which, by the way, is only a couple of weeks away, and then we check again. Alex, thank you for that. Got to be brief because it's a busy news day. You have a safe day down in South East London. 7:26, we go elsewhere because I'm aware many of you now are having some of your politics fill, and this is a truly shocking story. Someone convicted of offences against children aged 2 and 3 in a case described as every parent's nightmare. Now, I need to warn you, this nursery worker in Bristol, Nathan Bennett, was convicted at Bristol Crown Court. Our reporter, my colleague Thea Rickard, was there, but her report will contain some details that listeners could find distressing. Thea, good morning.
Good morning, Nick. The jury took less than 4 hours to find nursery worker Nathan Bennett guilty of crimes, including raping a child. We heard graphic detail during the trial about the way Bennett, who regularly wore trousers to work with holes in the crotch, groomed 5 toddlers in his care at Partoo King Street Nursery here in Bristol, which has since shut down. Detective Inspector Lucy Ford is from Avon and Somerset Police.
Nathan Bennett was trusted to care for children but committed sexual offences against the very young children at his place of work. An investigation involving such young children was deeply challenging and distressing for all concerned.
30-year-old Bennett, who brought overhead ear defenders into the dock with him, took the stand during his trial, having pleaded guilty to some sex offences with a lesser jail term. He claimed that because of his own experience of sexual abuse as a child, he had not known his actions were wrong. Bennett also said he'd never been taught about the age of consent. When he was asked to guess what it might be, he suggested 13. Now, Bennett's campaign of sexual abuse was first discovered in February last year when a fellow nursery worker saw him offending on CCTV. He was arrested later that day.
Nathan, based on an allegation we've received today, I'm arresting on suspicion of sexual assault of a child. Right, you do not have to say anything, but behind the phone, you have one question. Something's here to report, anything you do say may be given evidence.
Nathan Bennett will be sentenced on the 16th of March, while the parents of his victims, just 2 and 3 years old and some still in nappies, must focus on raising those children in the wake of his abuse.
Thea Rickard reporting for LBC 729. Now, Thea mentioned sentencing. Let's bring into the conversation Alan Collins, who's a partner of the law firm Bolt, Burden & Kemp, acting for survivors of child sexual abuse, joining me now. Thank you for your time. That, for me, was pretty grim listening. I appreciate this is your effectively your daily work, but can you give us an indication of what sentencing might be? Good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on. Sorry it's to discuss such awful things. We all have to hope that the the young children concerned make a full recovery. Yeah, so moving on from that, getting on to your question, I suspect the sentence will be somewhere between 20 and 30 years, given the gravity of the terrible offences.
And what is it that goes through, but prior to sentencing, what are the issues that are taken into account, Mr. Collins?
The issues will be the seriousness of the offences, the fact that Bennett was in a position of trust. You can't get a more responsible position, no, can you, when you're looking after somebody else's child? So that will weigh heavily with the judge. The impact on the children concerned and, of course, public revulsion and, a deterrent effect to warn other people if they are so minded to go down that terrible path.
Lastly, Mr. Collins, are we aware, has he assisted police with their inquiries? That is to say, has he identified the children that he assaulted and molested?
I'm not aware of that. It sounds as though he admitted some offences, but then...
So you'll never know.
Sounds a bit denied. Yes, this is one of the issues.
Some mums and dads, they will never... Yep. Oh, my godfathers, they will never know, Mr. Collins.
No. And that's a very common scenario. In my experience, sadly, we sometimes only ever see part of the story.
Thank you for your time, Alan Collins. Goodness knows how you do the work you do, but you're vital for it. You are partner of the law firm Bolt, Burden, Kemp, and you act for survivors of child sexual abuse. All right, coming up after the news, of course, we'll stay with the big political drama. The Starmer drama goes on, and we will stay with that. Also, water everywhere. Nudging 100 flood warnings still in place, but exactly where and how long will the rain go on? Plus, also after the news... any excuse we find to play the music for Succession, we will, as it has announced at HBO. Of course, behind Succession, we'll be streaming in the UK. More on that after this. 7:31, Breakfast with me, Nick Ferrara here on LBC News Time. Dominic Ellis.
Labour MPs have rallied around Keir Starmer after his most damaging day yet as Prime Minister. Yesterday, he faced calls from the Scottish Labour leader to resign over the Lord Mandelson scandal. Buckingham Palace says it's ready to support the police if approached about allegations against Andrew Mountbatten Windsor. The latest claims suggest that Andrew shared confidential information with Jeffrey Epstein while he was a UK trade envoy. And the government is to spend £5 billion paying off 90% of council's debts on special educational needs spending. Last week, most local authorities warned that they could go bankrupt after a significant increase in demand for services. LBC weather cloudy for most, with spells of rain falling heavy at times, drier to start in the south, a high of 13 degrees.
On the latest episode of The Newsagents.
With the calls for Keir Starmer's resignation getting louder and louder, we ask, is that really fair? Or is it just the latest example of Westminster hypocrisy?
Get the latest episode of The Newsagents with Emily Maitlis, John Sopel and Lewis Goodall. Listen or watch on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
To be
or not to be.
Right now, we're offering a range of incentives across Audi models.
That is the...
But only until the 28th of February.
The,
So stop whatever you're doing.
I'll be right back. Just carry on without me.
And find yours online or at your local Audi centre. Audi. Vorsprung durch Technik. Terms and conditions apply. Selected models, retail customers and participating Audi centres only.
Train to Chichester. Flasks filled, snacks packed, all ready for Maisie's first stargazing adventure.
Come on, Maisie. Follow everyone up to the top of that hill.
Oh, look. That one's the plough.
Shooting star. Oh, wow.
Oh, made it. Last train back and feeling cosmic. And it seems we have an astronaut in the making. Download the Southern Railway app to book kids' tickets for £2 on off-peak journeys. Southern Railway, where every stop is a story.
At Ocado, you'll save 25% on your first shop and get free delivery. Which means if you were to buy a four-cheese pizza, you'd basically be getting one of the cheeses for free. Save and splurge at Ocado, the online supermarket. Geographical and other restrictions. Minimum spend £60 and charges apply. New customers only. Maximum saving £20. Terms at ocado.com.
When you're smiling,
don't let missing teeth stop you smiling. At Banning Dental, our experts could restore your beautiful smile with premium dental implants. See online for our price match promise. Banning Dental Group Clinics. Keep on smiling.
Keep on smiling. Keep on smiling. And the whole world smiles with you.
BanningDental.co.uk.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
7:34, so as we continue to focus, understandably, on the political ramifications of the events at Number 10, what of the city? Now, bearing in mind the city can get the jitters if the Prime Minister is seen going out without his vest on, what does this possibly mean? We turn to Christian May, Editor-in-Chief at City AM. City, jitters again. City AM, good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Yeah, they're a jumpy bunch down in the square mile, but who can blame them? The political drama does have a direct relationship with market sentiment, market confidence. We talk a lot about business confidence across the country, optimism levels, confidence levels, do you have the certainty to invest, etc. But, of course, in the financial markets, in the financial plumbing that underpins all that, the stakes are equally as high. We saw yesterday movement in the bond markets as it looked as if ahead of Anas Sawar's speech, before that turned out to be a bit of a damp squib, politically at least, there was a sense that this could be the end for Keir Starmer, and people begin to worry about what might follow. And I think the expectation is that if there is a change of Prime Minister, whether that's now or in May or in a year's time, it'll probably be a leftward drift, which would mean more borrowing, more spending, a bit higher taxes. And bond market investors, as well as other players in the financial sector, are very nervous about that. And so you see that nerve start to play out in some of the decisions people are making on how trustworthy the UK will be to pay down its debt in the years ahead under such circumstances. So you cannot separate the political drama from the financial impact and consequences.
What do they need to see? The city just loves a period of calm, don't they? Stability.
Well, there are always some people who find opportunity in any crisis. So there are people who are well positioned to benefit from volatility and uncertainty. But of course, that's not the likes of you and me, Nick. It's not most mortgage holders. It's not most people getting up and going to work. So, of course, a sense of political stability would be welcome. We don't have that at the moment. It was a word used quite a lot yesterday by Labour MPs when they finally got off their backsides and tweeted their support for the Prime Minister. They talked about stability a lot. But I don't think anyone can safely say that that's the situation that we face at the moment. So, of course, they want to know that there is a financial plan, an economic plan, policies in place that are not going to chop and change, be ripped up, torn up, experimented with over the years ahead. To a degree, Nick, I say that that's slightly wishful thinking. You know, our politics is volatile. That's the nature of a modern democracy. That's the state of affairs we face. It's the price we pay for living in a free and open society. So people, to a degree, have just got to deal with that. But, of course, the real political chaos, the defenestrations of prime ministers and the experiments with either crazy right-wing or crazy left-wing budgets is obviously not something that most people would like to go through.
All right, why would viewers of shows such as... Succession be possibly celebrating the news concerning HBO?
Well, because life might be about to get a little bit simpler. So there are about 20,000 things you can watch on Amazon, just under that on Netflix. And how many hours of our lives dare we even consider it? Do we sit there on the sofa at the end of the day looking through, trying to find something to watch? And the choice is extraordinary. And yet what's equally extraordinary is the number of times we go through it all and say, I don't want to watch any of that. Well, HBO, the production...
You could be sitting on the sofa, exactly how it goes with me and the latest Mrs. Ferrari. You're exactly right.
I know. And then, you know, that's why we then turn to a board game, Nick, or a nice book. But if that isn't your cup of tea, then HBO are coming to the rescue because they're launching their HBO Max streaming service in the UK next month. And they say it will be quality over quantity. They say that the majority of people say, I've spent 30 minutes looking for something to watch and there's nothing good. And they say that HBO Max is the antidote for that because they will have fewer and what they say, better shows. They have The White Lotus, they have Game of Thrones, they have Sinners, they will have the new Harry Potter show. So their proposition is that for £6 a month, trust us, there'll always be something good on HBO Max. But I would imagine what happened, the chances of people ditching one of the other big streamers in order to fund the £6 for this is probably not the case. I imagine most people that want this will add it to their collection. But the proposition is we will make it easier for you to find something better to watch.
And lastly, who's calling fault with the David Lloyd Health Clubs?
Well, now, Nick, this is going to be interesting for you and for me in our weekly tennis match.
Indeed.
Which I know is, you know, attracts a big crowd these days, two athletes.
I'm bringing
at the top
new balls
of their game
this week, if that's okay.
Fair enough. But David Lloyd has angered
God knows
the gym
I need
group.
Them. Sorry, go on.
David Lloyd, the gym group, has angered some of their members who pay as much as £3,000 a year. I know you and I get in free because we're celebrities. But David Lloyd members are paying about £3,000 a year. Have now been told that if they pay another £140 a month, then they can jump the queue for booking those tennis courts. So you can get access to book them on the system a day ahead of people who are already paying a few grand a month for the privilege. So needless to say, this has annoyed a lot of these gym goers. And there's a petition against it. I would imagine this is in response to the fact that, like a lot of businesses, this gym group is going to face increases in its staff costs, in its business rates, and they're looking for ways to patch that up. And one of them appears to have come at the cost of angering quite a few of their customers. But Emma, I'll see you on the court.
Look forward to it. Christian May, editor-in-chief at City AM. He's used to write old racket and us. We don't really play tennis or anything. I would last about... I doubt if I get through one set. He's a lean and mean tennis machine, young Christian May. We go to other matters, 7:40. We'll cut Ash's reactions coming on that hideous court case we told you about, the West Country, with the nursery work, and I'll share some of those with you, and then back to the big political story. But, as we went to bed last night, and of course, as some of you went to work, I do understand that nearly 100 weather warnings, or flood warnings, I should say, were in place. Has the situation eased? How much more rain, water everywhere is there still to come? Claire Nazir, meteorologist and broadcaster, joins us now. How much longer is this going to go on, Claire? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Let me just give you some context. From the 31st of December to yesterday, some spots of Devon, Cornwall, Hereford and Worcester have seen 40 consecutive days of rain. The city of Aberdeenshire are only a third of the way into February, but already Aberdeen has seen 180% of its monthly rainfall. That gives you some perspective of the copious amounts of water falling in some parts of the country, particularly the south, the west, Northern Ireland, January, 149 years, the wettest since that time. So yes, it really is bad, and there's more flooding on its way. We're expecting more rain today. There's warnings across Eastern Scotland yet again. More rain then comes in across the south. It does then turn a bit colder, which means particularly across Scotland that rain will be locked up as snow, but it's not the end of the story. Saturday's the day where there could be some sunshine, so let's hang on to our hats for that before another area of rain sweeps in from the west through Sunday and into Monday. The orientation of the rain will change a little bit, so the focus will be more west. That's Northern Ireland, doesn't need the rain, but also Western Scotland, where we've seen less than the east. So there's still a lot to come. We're in a blocked pattern and there's no let up.
Claire, as ever, thank you for the cogent and absolutely comprehensive report on exactly where the country finds itself. Claire Nazir, meteorologist and broadcaster now. We told you just before the news about this particularly troubling case. I won't go into full details, so if there are little ears listening, don't worry. But it concerns a nursery worker who's been convicted of a series of sexual offences, including rape against children some age just 2 and 3, and we heard from a lawyer. The lawyer, the experienced lawyer who works in this field, Alan Collins said probably looking to 20, 30 years. Bear in mind, he doesn't set the sentence, he's just giving an indication. Joseph's furies over only 20 or 30 years for this piece of work, I'll call him that. He should be castrated and get at least 50 years in isolation, and that's for each child he abused. Similar sentiment here from Bill. If ever there was a case for mandatory chemical castration, that pervert has to be the one. No matter how long his sentence is, he'll be released to continue his perverted ways. Hmm. 30 years, the man is 30. Doesn't really seem long enough, does it? We might return to that. But it is obviously the travails of the current Prime Minister that's really dominating most of our conversation. John's in Sandbach. John, what should he do now? Carry on? Hope for some relief in the by-election, which seems unlikely? Good morning.
He shouldn't carry on because he's going to get slaughtered in the by-elections. And they're all saying, oh, we'll wait till the by-elections. I mean, every day he's in his office, he's a liability. He was never popular with the public, even when got elected.
They got in with 33% of the vote. It's quite incredible. You're right in what you say, John.
He wasn't popular with the public. The Labour Party got elected. He happened to be the leader of the Labour Party. And I don't think anybody will miss him. Because he might be sincere and all that, but he's made these mistakes. His cabinet have made...
Oh, no, he's undoubtedly sincere. He's also incompetent. That's the great problem. Do you see a member with someone within the Labour Party who you think could be the player to take the country forward?
Somebody mentioned Miliband.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, Ed Miliband.
I know.
Go back to the last election where he photographed with a sandwich in his gob. Oh, no.
He'll be with us in about 15 minutes. I'll remind him and tell him of your enthusiasm about the idea, John. Do stay tuned when Ed Miliband joins us. Thank you for that. More calls coming in on that. Then coming up in the next hour, well, last week it was in Essex.
Charles, have you pressurised the police? It's not investigating Andrew.
When he was heckled about the police investigation into Andrew. Yesterday it was Lancashire. How long have you known about Andrew? So, with this would appear to be mounting concern, is it time for a... Struggling? If you've got it, you'll see what that sequence works. If not, I need to tell you that's the music from... The King's Speech. Is it time for a King's Speech to address? To say farewell to the tactic of never complain, never explain, and actually make some kind of right royal address, but... What would he actually say about his brother? Would that turn it around? He can't be heckled every time he gets out the limo, can he? We'll look at that later. 7:40. Oh, Ed Miliband coming up after this, by the way. 7:45, LBC News headlines. Dominic Ellis.
Sir Keir Starmer appears safe in his job for the time being after surviving the most bruising day of his premiership to date. Buckingham Palace says it's ready to support the police if approached about allegations against Andrew Mountbatten Windsor, and almost 100 areas in England have been warned to expect flooding as heavy downpours continue. LBC weather cloudy for most, with spells of rain falling heavy at times, drier to start in the south, a high of 13 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Delays on the M4 eastbound to Junction 5 at Langley. There's been an accident and two lanes are closed for recovery. Very busy on the M1 northbound to Junction 12 at Flitwick. A car's broken down and one lane is closed. Albert Bridge is closed in both directions for the emergency repair works, but now Chelsea Bridge Road's had to be closed southbound at Pimlico Road, and that's following an accident and that's also causing delays. Long delays on the North Circular Road southbound to the A12 junction. A lorry's broken down, and the A13's very slow westbound to the Pitsea flyover. There's been an accident, and on the trains, London North Western can't run between Watford Junction and St Albans Abbey.
This is LBC.
At Costa, we've served you coffee for over 40 years, and now we're serving you matcha. Yes, matcha. We're making it as everyday as grabbing your keys. Up and down the UK.
In Dudley?
Yep.
Bootop's got it.
Mm-hmm.
Even Hyde.
Abergavenny's got it.
Hoyt's got it near Bother too.
Aye. Even in Gateshead?
Yes. All of those places and tons in between. Matcha. At Costa. Made with heart.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. LBC.
The Volkswagen Fantabulous, Fandabby-dozy, Fandang-a-ding-dong fortnight is here.
Stop. We've been through this, Harry. It's the Volkswagen Fantastic Fortnight. Much snappier.
Oh, OK. From the 2nd to the 16th of February, the Volkswagen Fantastic Fortnight gives you an extra £1,000 towards your finance deposit on top of existing offers on the Polo, Golf, Tiguan and our all-electric ID 3, 4 and 5 with Solutions PCP 7.9% APR representative. Visit your nearest Volkswagen retailer now. Hurry, offer ends 16th of February. Better?
Perfect.
Indemnities may be required. Volkswagen Financial Services.
I'm Leah, and this is my NHS story. I could just feel my body didn't feel right, and my GP referred me to CDC. Had some blood tests done, and within 24 hours, I had my results. And that just reassured me that I was being taken seriously.
The government is opening new community diagnostic centres, with many already available 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, so the NHS can be there for all of us when we need it. Find your closest one at gov.uk/NHS Fit for the Future. Available England-wide.
A southern train is a place where you can wind down and catch up. A chance to let conversations flow and plans unfold. And swap doomscrolling for telling stories. Too good for the group chat. Make the journey part of the joy and save one-third with off-peak group tickets at southernrailway.com. Terms apply.
Turn up your taste buds with Dolmio Intensify pasta sauces. From mild creamy garlic and black pepper to bold smoky garlic and sun-dried tomato,
whoa,
and spicy smoked paprika and chili.
Woo-hoo!
Try Dolmio Intensify pasta sauces with serious flavor. Dolmio, yeah.
Selling your car can be super simple if you choose We Buy Any Car instead of selling privately. We Buy Any Car can get it sorted in under an hour, so no weekends watching randoms inspect your car to not even buy it. If only they could make finding where you park simpler.
Was it floor 2 or 3? I swear I parked here. Where is it?
We Buy Any Car. Selling made simple. To get a quote in 30 seconds, enter your reg number now at webuyanycar.com.
Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
10 minutes before 8. Now, as I've told you many times, I've been in this business for more than 40 years, and I have to tell you I'm staggered. I've examined the Express, I've scoured the Sun, I've ground through the Guardian, I've trawled through the Telegraph, but there's no mention of the biggest investment in community energy in British history to build community wealth. There seems to be some other political story going on. I wonder if my next contributor shares my surprise. Secretary of State for Energy Security and Net Zero, Ed Miliband. Where is the coverage of this story, Mr. Miliband? Good morning.
Good morning, and I'm shocked and outraged that it hasn't got more coverage. Nick?
Let's put that right. What is it you and your colleagues are announcing today?
So there'll be lots of people who are listening to your programme, who are part of a local community centre, a local sports club, and they will say, we're paying loads of money to the energy companies. Maybe we could own our own energy. Solar panels on the roof, for example, will actually cut our bills. We'll be able to sell power back to the grid. We'll generate resources to invest in our sports club, our local community.
So it could be a cricket pavilion or a rugby club.
Cricket pavilion,
like
rugby. Yeah. You've got it in one.
Got it.
We're putting £1 billion to this through Great British Energy, our publicly owned energy company. It's the right thing to do to give people back control of their energy, not just the big international companies, and help people cut their bills and generate resources.
How do people get involved, Secretary of State?
GB Energy will be opening for business today. People can register their interest. They're going to have a team of experts on hand to help guide people through the process. The funds will be opening in the summer, and people will be able to apply.
OK, and do we have an idea how many different sports facilities £1 billion might provide for?
Initially 1,000. We think it could be a lot more than that. But all around the country, we want every community to be part of this. Interestingly, Nick, in Denmark and Germany, I think half of solar energy is community owned. So, and it's 1% in this country. So there's lots more we can do. It's really, really exciting.
Now, all the newspaper editors and news bulletin writers don't seem to show much interest. They're going on about these issues at number 10. Secretary of State, why are there these problems concerning the Prime Minister and his tenure?
Look, I think the appointment of Peter Mandelson was a very bad mistake. It undermines the whole purpose of what I think the government is, which is to stand up for the powerless, not the powerful. And this has got to be a moment of change for the government. As Keir said last night, a moment of change where we have much greater clarity of purpose. We avoid some of the mistakes that we've made, not just the Mandelson affair, but the things like the winter fuel payment. And I think Keir recognised that last night. But I also think something else happened yesterday, Nick, which is Labour MPs looked over the precipice and they decided we don't want to go down the road of the Tories, chaotic leadership changes. We want to stick with the guy who won the election 18 months ago, give him a chance to renew the government. And I think that is really important, because if there's one thing that really matters, given all the challenges that we face, it's focusing on the country, not on ourselves.
Well, not everyone is in accord, are they, Mr. Miliband? Your friend north of the border, Anas Sawa, took a rather different stance.
He did, and I'm a friend of Anas. I disagree with him on this. I don't think leadership change is what we need. I think change in some of the things that we're doing as a government, yes, but I think changing our leader is not the answer. I think Keir needs to be allowed to get on with the job. And I would say this as a former leader, Nick. But, you know, leadership is a collective business, and we have a duty to support him.
But don't you ultimately, again, having been leader of the party, you must accept that advisers advise, ministers decide. It was his decision to actually put Mandelson in place, Mr. Miliband.
Yeah, and he took responsibility for that yesterday.
Well, he's blamed everyone but. He's blamed Morgan McSweeney, he's blamed Mandelson's lies. This is supposedly a barrister. It doesn't sit well.
Well, that's not...
Come on, you're a realistic bloke.
Sure, sure.
It doesn't sit well with the public.
Well, that's not what he said last night. He took full responsibility. Look, his opening words to the Parliamentary Labour Party, and I'm sure he'll say this in public, I take full responsibility for the decision. It was my decision, and I take full responsibility for it. And look, he's totally been open. He made a mistake. He made a big mistake. Mandelson should never have been appointed. That is absolutely correct. And you learn lessons. And I think what I saw last night was somebody who is determined to learn those lessons. And he said very specifically, Nick, not just on Mandelson, but more widely. And it was a slightly different Keir, you know, last night.
It was
the Keir that I know in private. That sometimes we haven't seen in public settings, which
is that an angry Keir? Or
no, it's a Keir who was absolutely passionate, absolutely clear about why he was there, what the purpose of the government was, and look, even people who were his critics came out and were like, God, if we see that Keir, every day out in public, that's exactly what we want to see.
But why can't his colleagues and his team, why can't the public see that Sir Keir, Mr. Miliband? Because they don't see it. You must accept that. Will you allow me? They don't see enough of it. Let me put it up.
Yeah, well, look, I hope we're going to see more of that. And I think one of the frustrations for people who've been Keir's friends, as I've been for 15 years, is that we know why he's in politics. He thinks this country doesn't work for ordinary working people. The background he came from, he thinks it works for the wealthy and powerful in our country, and that needs to change. And he knows, because he's been saying this, that the cost of living crisis is not just a 5-year thing, it's a 15-year thing that people have been facing, including your listeners and viewers. And that's the purpose of the government, to change that, to address it, to tackle it. And, you know, I think it was a much more unplugged Keir last night, and we need to see more of that.
And he also, I understand, Mr. Band, talked about his desire to, quote, clean up politics. What do you take? What does that mean? That's rather nebulous, isn't it?
Look, I think anyone who's been... Any government that has seen what's happened in the last couple of weeks with Mandelson will say, look, we've got to take a long, hard look at the way that... This was allowed to happen, the whole vetting processes and all of that. But also, more widely, what does this teach us about money in politics, about connections in politics, and how you deal with that? I think we need to, you know, it's not about rushing into it with a knee-jerk set of proposals. Gordon Brown set forward some proposals about how we can have, you know, greater cleaning up of politics. We need to look at all of these issues.
Can you assure my listeners you have no interest in being the leader of the Labour Party again?
Yes.
Absolutely zero interest. If the ball came out the back of the scrum, you're not interested.
Nope.
Chancellor of the Exchequer.
Oh, God, no, don't be ridiculous. I'm happy doing the job I'm doing. You know, Nick, that I am, as you are, passionate about issues around climate change. Passionate about the opportunity as well for energy security, for good jobs.
I don't think we've spoken since President Donald Trump said that this rush to net zero, people are being conned. He references the United Kingdom. He says it's one of the great cons of our lives. How do you react to President Trump's view of the work you and your colleagues are doing in your department?
not in complete agreement with him, I would say.
Can you go a little further?
You know, I'm a mild...
Where's the evidence?
I'm a mild-mannered guy.
Where's the evidence Miliband, for, where is the evidence?
Where's the evidence for climate change?
No, where's the evidence that this will be the growth that we... I mean, your friend Wes Streeting said in a communication with Peter Mandelson, there is, quotes, no growth. Excuse me, you're now going to tell me the department you and your colleagues working... You're the kickstart to growth.
Yes. Look, we just had figures come out showing a massive increase in clean energy investment in our country. We're going to create 400,000 extra jobs in clean energy by 2030. We've got 11,000 more jobs in nuclear than we had a year ago. We're seeing the same in offshore wind. Today we're announcing a record-breaking solar auction, which is going to create thousands of jobs across the country. This is the big economic opportunity of the 21st century. And countries like China recognise this. We need to recognise it too. And that is absolutely at the core of the government's growth strategy. And some of this is only possible because of the investments that Rachel Reeves is making.
But the latest UK GDP data shows growth of 0.1% September through November. That's not shooting the lights out in growth, Mr. Miliband. And you're going to be, your department, you and your colleagues are meant to be one of the great architects for this.
Well, we are. Look, if you look
at that 0.1%, my God.
If you look at that's a snapshot. But look, if you look at the net zero economy as a whole, it grew three times faster than the wider economy last year. This is the big economic opportunity. As for Rachel's economic strategy, I know exactly what it is, which is a foundation of stability, which is so important. That's why we've had six interest rate cuts since the general election. And investing in the future, not the decline we saw in the 14 years of the Tories. And my department is absolutely at the core of this.
Lastly, we started our conversation by talking about the news business. It's highly likely they're going to get excited again, possibly later today or tomorrow, when Sir Chris Wormald announces that he will be departing. That'll be three advisers gone within 3 days or 4 days. How would you react? Let's get ahead of the headlines. When it is, if he is true, he's negotiating his exit, how would you respond to that?
Well, look, I don't know. I'm not going to comment on speculation about...
But if he does go, that's rather embarrassing, isn't it?
Your
leader is the Thomas Frank of politics, like the Spurs boss, facing relegation.
No, I don't buy that at all.
Well, they are facing relegation, Mr.
Well, I'm not talking about Spurs here. Right. Are you a Spurs fan?
No, I'm not.
All right, okay, fine. I should know that. Where were we?
If Sir Chris Wormald is true and he's negotiating...
I'm not going to get into Chris Wormald.
That will be four days. The headlines will start again.
No,
we need Ed Mild Miliband to calm the horses.
You're extremely tempting in so many ways, but I'm not going to get into Chris Wormald. Look, The big picture here is all of my advice to my colleagues, above all, is focus on the country, not on ourselves. And it's not just my advice, it's the collective will of the Labour Party that we saw yesterday. And dare I say it, Nick, I think that's what a lot of your viewers and listeners will want us to do.
Appreciate your time. If you're running a sports facility such as a pavilion, a rugby club or a town hall or a village hall, get in touch with Great British Energy. There's £1 billion to be had, as outlined by Ed Miliband, Secretary of State for Energy Security and Net Zero. Mr. Miliband, thank you. You've taken us to 1 minute after eight. Let's get the latest LBC headlines.
On your radio, on the LBC app and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom, Keir Starmer will attempt to move on from speculation about his future in number 10 after surviving renewed calls to resign. He's been struggling to reassert his authority following the Lord Mandelson scandal. But Sir Keir told a meeting of MPs last night that he's not prepared to walk away from the job. Cabinet Minister Ed Miliband has just told Nick he came out fighting.
What I saw last night was somebody who is determined to learn those lessons. And he said very specifically, Nick, not just on Mandelson, but more widely. And it was a slightly different Keir, you know, last night.
It was
the Keir that I know in private, who was absolutely passionate. And look, even people who were his critics came out and were like, God, if we see that Keir every day out in public, that's exactly what we want to see.
The Prime Minister will host a cabinet meeting in number 10 this morning. Professor of Politics Sir John Curtis has told Nick that he thinks Sir Keir will likely stay in post until after May's local elections.
We should bear in mind that, you know, this is somebody who is deeply unpopular with the wider public, a party that is in deep electoral trouble. Not that it's got any worse in the wake of the Mandelson story. Another poll out this morning, absolutely no change in Labour's rating, but that's not the point. This was never a story that was likely to have this do significant damage. damage to Keir Starmer and Labour standing because it's already so low.
Buckingham Palace says it stands ready to support any police investigation into Andrew Mountbatten Windsor. The Thames Valley Force is assessing some of the latest Epstein files. The King says he's profoundly concerned. His brothers previously denied wrongdoing. The FBI says it's yet to identify any suspects in the disappearance of an American TV news anchor's mother. Nancy Guthrie, who's 84, is believed to have been kidnapped from her home in Arizona last week. A deadline to settle a ransom demand set by her purported abductors expired yesterday. Almost 100 areas in England have been warned to expect flooding as heavy downpours continue. The warnings are in place mostly across the south, the southern Welsh border and in the East Midlands. And moves to allow 18-year-olds to drive trains will be put before Parliament later. The government says dropping the age limit from 20 will help combat an ageing workforce. In the city a short time ago, the FTSE 100 reopened at 10,386. It closed up 16 yesterday. The pound buys $1.36 and €1.14. LBC weather, cloudy for most, with spells of rain falling heavy at times, drier in the south to start, a high of 13 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
Hey Sainsbury's, how can I create a special Valentine's Day at home that's as good as going out?
How about our Taste the Difference meal for two? A starter, main, side, dessert and drink for just £18 with Nectar.
Anything you recommend?
Our Taste the Difference 30-day matured sirloin steak is tender and full of flavour.
I'm in love.
Sainsbury's, good food for all of us.
18 plus, Nectar required. Available night to the 14th of February. Selected items only. Subject to availability in selected stores and online. Standard delivery from £1. Please drink responsibly.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Morning, 4 minutes after eight, Tuesday, February the 10th. It's a story that just won't go away. The Epstein files, the Epstein scandal. On the political front, of course, we've looked at the involvement of Peter Mandelson and the Prime Minister. Let's go to the royal front now. The palace saying it's ready to support the police in any inquiry into Andrew Mountbatten Windsor. I'll be asking, words you would, before the world of social media, if you'd suggested that in a news conference and your newspaper, you've been told you're mad. Does King Charles need to make some kind of royal address? We'll look at that. In other news, footage of the moment an army reject was arrested by officers from Kent Police after attempting to effectively behead Lieutenant Colonel outside the barracks in Gillingham, Kent.
Put your hands on your head, mate. Hand on your head. Do not move. If you move or attempt to touch me, my colleague will tase you. Do you understand?
And that soldier was only saved by the heroic actions of his wife. It is akin to the tragedy of Lee Rigby. We'll look at that in more detail. In other policing matters, the VIP abuse hoaxer let out of jail, discreetly and secretly. This is, of course, Carl Beach, who made numerous false allegations against former PM Ted Heath. Lincoln Zegelman was Sir Ted Heath's godson. He told ITV in 2019 upon Beach's sentencing.
I think what was extraordinary was the gullibility of a lot of people and then the malicious exploitation of the situation by others, including some politician.
And you remember the promise to the people in Iran? Keep going with the resistance, we're on our way and moving a beautiful armada that was heading down there. Well, it is reported another wave of dissent is on the way. The government itself admits to killing 3,500 people. Most agencies say 7,000. Some 36,000, with 50,000 in jail, some of whom will never be seen again. And yet, there are no marches every Saturday in parts of the country. Why has the world turned a blind eye to Iran?
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Journalists love talking about things that are unprecedented. It's one of those buzzwords. It's unprecedented in this Prime Minister. Unprecedented for a Chancellor to go. But yesterday was, in fairness, for one that was unprecedented, with the King issuing a statement expressing his profound concern at the mounting allegations against his brother. The Royal Household saying it would, if asked, and I quote, support a police inquiry. Now, this, let me be in absolutely no shadow of a doubt, this is as a result of the impact of social media. Because, and we're going to speak to people far better versed in affairs royal than I, but it has always been the mantra, don't complain, don't explain. But are we getting towards the point where we need to have a King's speech? Well, Henry Reilly looks back at previous national addresses from our monarchs.
I'm speaking to you at what I know is an increasingly challenging time. A time of disruption in the life of our country.
Addressing the United Kingdom and Commonwealth, an extraordinarily difficult period required the steadfast support of the monarch, Queen Elizabeth II, in April 2020, with an audience of 24 million.
Better days will return. We will be with our friends again. We will be with our families again. We will meet again.
It was in 1935, though, that King George V spoke at the end of celebrations of his Silver Jubilee, the first monarch to achieve that milestone.
I must speak to my people everywhere. Yet, how can I express what is in my heart? As I pass this morning through cheering multitudes,
special addresses by the British monarch fall outside the royal Christmas message and are reserved for significant events. King Edward VIII, after the death of his father.
And to many of you, the sound of his voice must still seem to be ringing in your ears.
And a communication tool at its gravest, used by the wartime monarch, King George VI.
In this grave hour, for the second time in the lives of most of us, we are at war.
King George VI, who struggled with a stammer, he would also address the nation 1 year into war on D-Day, VE Day and VJ Day. But it was his successor, Britain's longest-serving monarch, who made the special address more common. In 1991, after consultation with then-Prime Minister Sir John Major, and in a move labelled unprecedented by the Times, Queen Elizabeth II addressed the nation during the Gulf War.
And that it may be achieved with a smaller cost in human life and suffering.
Perhaps the best-known special address at a hugely challenging time for the firm, however, accused in 1997 with the Queen all in black wearing pearl earrings on the eve of the funeral of Diana, Princess of Wales.
No one who knew Diana will ever forget her. Millions of others who never met her but felt they knew her will remember her. I, for one, believe there are lessons to be drawn from her life and from the extraordinary and moving reaction to her death. I share in your determination to cherish her memory.
Again in 2002, after the death of the Queen Mother.
Over the years, I have met many people who have had to cope with family loss, sometimes in the most tragic of circumstances. So I count myself fortunate that my mother was blessed with a long and happy life.
And in 2012, during her Diamonds Jubilee, for King Charles III, he spoke after the death of his mother on the 80th anniversary of D-Day, and in December, in a televised address for Stand Up to Cancer.
Who receive a cancer diagnosis each year, and for the millions more who love and care for them. I know from my own experience that a cancer diagnosis can feel overwhelming.
King Charles concluding Henry Reilly's report 10 minutes after eight. Let's bring to the conversation Robert Jobson, who's also the Windsor Legacy, has a piece in one of the newspapers, the Daily Mail, this morning, talking about the pressure facing the King, and he writes, and I quote, "This is no longer a scandal the palace can manage by keeping its distance or maintaining its silence." Robert Jobson joins me now. What are you calling for, Rob? Morning.
Well, I think that piece that you just played before that we chatted is very important. But the one that was missing there was the abdication, the most famous statement ever made by a monarch, really, in modern times. And that's, I think we're at a time now where this crisis, this Epstein crisis, I wasn't around at the time of the abdication, but I think it must be of that type of scale. And I think that the reality is, so far, all we have, and quite rightly, is the King saying he will cooperate with any police investigation. And that's for social media. I tweeted that when it came out, and I don't have that many followers. It went viral with over a million views. So it is having a huge impact. And I think that the people are really demanding, and I think it's right, that there is... It's just not just embarrassing for the royal family. There is accountability for what's happened. I think Charles probably needs to address this in some way by getting his brother to actually testify at Congress and to give some answers under oath. He's not very good at answering questions. He openly lied to the BBC in that interview that's now been shown in from files that have come out of the Epstein files. But accountability is not about losing your title or your home. And making, you know, going from one massive house to a slightly smaller one. It's about the, what's happened here and answering questions. He's party to seeing things and that went on and surely must answer some questions.
You also write in your piece in the Daily Mail today that maybe there are questions that be asked of the former monarch. Perhaps there is. Of course, can't speak of her. She's not here to defend herself, but she bears a degree of responsibility, Rob.
Yeah, that's difficult to address with the late Queen, because I really, you know, I think she was an incredible lady who'd served our country and the Commonwealth with distinction. But maybe, just maybe, you know, they talk about Andrew being her favourite son. She would have, was in her 90s when this started to develop. There's no excuse, but I suppose you've got to take into consideration that he would have lied to her, because we know he lied, because yes. You know, he said he didn't see Epstein after 2010. He did. And maybe, you know, she was blindsided by him or blinded by her mother's love. But the fact is, on her watch, millions and millions of pounds were paid in lawyers' fees, millions of pounds paid out to one of the sad and tragic victims, Virginia Giuffre-Roberts, who tragically killed herself last year. Millions of pounds paid out. So in a way, that helped to, you know, delay this, what we're seeing now. Is it part of a cover-up? Well, it certainly seems that way. And I think that now it's on King Charles's watch, and we're told that William II is furious about this, that they can't just say that, you know, we've got to think about the victims. People want accountability. People...
I will leave it there, Rob. Thank you. Robert Jobson, you wrote The Windsor Legacy, your own piece in today's Daily Mail. Listening, Anna Whitelock, who's Professor of History of Monarchy at City St George's, University of London. What is the likelihood, as you see it, of some form of royal address or addressing this issue? Because I'm sure you agree, Professor, it's not going away.
It's definitely not going away. I think right at this moment, a kind of set-piece televised address is unlikely, although I do think more likely perhaps is that in a planned speech, the King might address this. But I think, I mean, first of all, yesterday...
So you drop it in, a pre-arranged, something he's doing already, and you drop a couple of paragraphs in. Yeah,
I think so. Because, of course, yesterday, you know, yes, it was significant in that, although it was a spokesman from the palace, so we still haven't heard these words uttered from the King's mouth, but it was saying that the King was ready to support the police, and he named his brother and said of his concerns about him, Mr. Mountbatten Windsor. That is definitely significant and a departure, you know, for the first time that Andrew has actually been named. But arguably what immediately had prompted that was the case being handed to, or the allegations being handed to Thames Valley Police about suspected misconduct in public office and breach of official secrets. So arguably it hasn't been all the allegations about, well, Virginia Giuffre and afterwards. I think for the King, I mean, the difference with this particular instance than some of those, the context of other occasions when an address has been made, is the involvement at whatever level from the royal family in the institution. Now, we know that Starmer is being put under the cosh, not because he was named directly, but the question is, what did they know when? And what decisions did they make or not make on the basis of knowing perhaps something? Those are the questions that would need to be asked, I think, of the royal family and, you know, the Queen, who was, we think, involved in making that payment to Virginia Giuffre. And I should add, I mean, as was described by the BBC on a website, I think, yesterday. Misremembering. The settlement at the time of Virginia Giuffre said that Prince Andrew would assist and support victims of sex trafficking. So he hasn't lived up to that. So, I mean, and I would finally say, you know, that I think things that he could do would be meeting the victims, perhaps meeting, if not the victims of sex trafficking. You know, this sense, as Robert said, that, you know, Prince and Princess of Wales just sort of mention our thoughts are with the victims. Well, kind of, so what?
Yes.
So I think at the very least they need to do more and be seen to do more, and pressure will mount for the King to be saying something in his own words.
Final question, briefly, if you can, Anna. What is causing, do you imagine, this increase in hostility towards the royal, towards the King? Is it perhaps a less respectful media? Is it social media? What are the, or is it both? What are the causes?
I think it's both, and it's just this sense of lack of transparency. And, you know, the Queen just about managed to pull off never explain, never complain. Yeah. But I think even if she was alive now, I mean, that's just absolutely not sustainable. And this kind of mute idea of a monarch is just not going to cut it. So I think...
I will end it there. Professor, thank you for time reasons. Grateful for your input. Anna Whitelock, Professor of the History of Monarchy at City St George's University of London. We're late to the news. I do apologise, sir. Coming up, so we'll come to your views, and also after the news.
A British Army officer says his wife's a hero who saved him from an attacker trying to stab him to death. I'm LBC's Shivani Sharma with the full report.
Shivani's report will follow this, and then your verdict. A King's speech, or, in fairness, what's he actually going to say? How long could he go on for? We'll come to your views and verdicts. It's 8:18, LBC News Headlines, Dominic Ellis.
A cabinet minister has told Nick that Sir Keir Starmer showed drive and passion in a meeting with his MPs after resisting calls to quit. Buckingham Palace says it stands ready to support any police investigation into Andrew Mountbatten Windsor. And the government is to write off 90% of council's debts on special educational needs spending. LBC weather. Cloudy for most, with spells of rain falling heavy at times. Drier in the south to start. A high of 13 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Long delays on the M1 northbound to Junction 12 at Flitwick. A car's broken down and one lane is closed. Also very busy around Chelsea, Battersea and Albert Bridges because Albert Bridge remains closed. Most of the traffic's using Battersea Bridge. That's slow northbound. But Chelsea Bridge Road has been closed southbound at Pimlico Road following an accident. And that's obviously adding to the delays in the area. At the Elephant and Castle, the New Kent Road is closed eastbound because a van's broken down. And that's also very busy now on all approaches to the junction. On the trains, London Northwestern services aren't running between Watford Junction and St Albans Abbey, but better news on the Windrush line, those delays have now cleared.
This is LBC.
Looking to boost your career or just starting out? As the expert in online learning, the Open University has over 200 qualifications to choose from, like business, psychology, computing, and many more. With tutor support and courses that fit around your life, getting those in-demand skills employers are looking for isn't so far away. Search the Open University to find out more. The Open University. The future is open.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. This is LBC.
On a windswept walk in Carmarthen, while someone tries to use your card details to hire a speedboat in Cannes. This is the moment you relax, knowing that Barclays Advanced Tech has helped to spot the fraud in under a second, and their expert team are on hand to close it down. So you can get back to being windswept. Oh! Just one of the ways we're protecting our customers 24/7. Search Barclays Fraud Protection. Barclays. Make money work for you.
Tonight's Euro Millions jackpot is £33 million.
I think that deserves a whoop whoop. Whoop whoop! Thank you, faraway person. Get in tonight's Euro Millions draw. Play on app.
Estimated jackpot. Account terms, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
At TfO, we're opening up more of London for everyone with step-free access. We're continuing to improve accessibility at many of our stations, and now over 200 stations and counting have step-free access, including the entire Elizabeth Line, DLR and all tram stops. That is how we're making the greener way to travel more accessible to all. Search TfL Improvement Plan. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters. Greener than total estimated petrol and diesel car emissions.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973.
Let's get straight into your calls. 21 minutes after it, straight into your calls. Should there be a King's speech? If so, what does he say? Nick's in Holland Park. I can see the argument for. I have to still say I'm pretty much against. But what do you think? Good morning.
I'd like to see Charles make a speech, and if he's going to make a speech about corruption, potential corruption of his brother, I wonder if he'd care to cover the millions of euros that came in cash from the Prime Minister of Qatar via Charles's private secretary. This is all in the news 10 years ago.
So well, exactly 10 years ago, Nick. We're talking about a scandal that changes by the day.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. These people are all bulletproof. Charles probably put out some mealy-mouthed statement, but nothing will happen to everyone. And I want to draw.
But Nick, I am not absolving anyone, and I think I remember the story well. You're talking about, but in this instance, we're talking about victims who were trafficked for sex, some of whom possibly underage by a paedophile. I'm not seeking to minimise the other story I mentioned, but this is on a different plane, different level, Nick.
I don't think it matters. Corruption is corruption.
You don't think that the victims who are yearning for full coverage of their plight and some way of bringing a conclusion to their suffering, you don't think that's on a different level?
I think it's on the same level.
All right, then we're going to have to politely disagree on this one. Look after yourself, Nick. I look forward to speaking to you again. I'd ask you to reconsider that. Again, not minimising the story that you've mentioned, but you've got women whose lives, I don't know if you saw that very powerful compilation of women that was played out during the Super Bowl on American television, I hasten to add, on US TV, where these women are still weeping about their plight all these years on. If that doesn't resonate with you, again, not seeking to minimise the other story to which you referred, this is different matter. This has the potential, and briefly yesterday I thought it might, could bring down a government. You are not comparing eggs with eggs. We'll have more on the King's Speech. I haven't done enough of the social media. Here we go. Let's get some of those. Here we go. Anne of St. Albans. No matter how reprehensible Andrew's behaviour has been, he hasn't committed actions that threaten the nation or national security. It's not fair to expect the King to comment on the possible but unproven wrongdoings of his brother. Glenn in Warrington says, a King should address the public regarding his brother's involvement with Epstein. I don't have much of an opinion on the royal family, but this whole affair shows the privilege of their position. Never complain, never explain, is evasive at worst, ridiculous at best. I think the family knows more than they're saying. I think we need that in relation to this. It's ridiculous and it's wrong that this goes on. All right, we'll take more calls on that. Andy, I'm coming to you, but I have got one of my colleagues standing by with more details on a story that jumped out of the papers this morning, and I'm not sure if it was covered on LBC News bulletins, but the headline's enough. The hero wife who stopped a knife man trying to cut my head off, just like Lee Rigby, says leading army officer. He was stabbed outside a barracks in Kent. Unfortunately, his wife came to his aid. Otherwise, sadly, we could be dealing with a tragedy on the same scale as Fusilier Rigby, down in Woolwich. LBC Shivani Sharma has been following the story and joins me now. Shivani, good morning.
Nick, good morning. It's been described by witnesses as one of the worst things they've ever seen, as Lieutenant Mark Teaton, the chief instructor at the British Army School of Military Engineering, was attacked near Brompton Barracks in Kent by 25-year-old Anthony Eason back in July 2024. Now, videos showed Anthony Eason chasing and repeatedly stabbing the officer until his wife, Eileen Teaton, heard his screams and rushed out of her house, dragging the attacker off her husband before he fled the scene, with Kent police tracking him down and arresting him at his home in Rochester half an hour later.
Put your hands on your head, mate. Hand on your head. Do not move. If you move or attempt to touch me, my colleague will tase you. Do you understand? Do not move that other hand.
Now, Nick, we understand that this was a deliberate attack on a member of the British Army. Lieutenant Mark Teaton was dressed in uniform at the time. And as you say, there are some harrowing comparisons to the Lee Rigby case. Just days before this attack took place, Anthony Eason, originally from Nigeria, searched Woolwich soldier murdered on the internet. Of course, a reference there to Lee Rigby, who was killed by Islamic terrorists near the Royal Artillery Barracks in 2013. We also understand that the attacker made several attempts to try and join the army in the years leading up to the attack, and that he'd also been referred to mental health services for being unwell and for hearing voices in his head. Now, Lieutenant Mark Teaton told the court that medics said to him he was lucky to be alive after suffering neck, chest and abdominal injuries. And he said that his wife effectively saved his life. He said, "I didn't imagine for a moment that I would be attacked in such a way on the streets of Britain." Now, this case has been delayed several times because of concerns over the attacker's mental health and fitness to plead. But he did admit the charge last month via video link from Broadmoor Hospital, and that sentencing hearing is still going on.
LBC's Shivani Sharma reporting. Sentencing will take place later. Reactions still coming in on the idea of the King giving some kind of King's speech. Andy, you'll be the next caller on that. Simon says the King should not have to make a speech about his brother. What do you expect him to say? If you had a member of your family that had been accused of breaking the law, would you make a separate speech to your programme? Of course you wouldn't. Well, I'm just to point out, Simon, I'm not the monarch. I don't actually rule this country. And if my brother had been the Duke of York and Prince Andrew and enjoyed extraordinary position of significance, then I do think it's slightly different. Although, Simon, I agree, I'm still kind of minded to say no. Nikki and Kent, the time is over for the royal family to hide behind never complain, never explain. We even want what I would like to know, where the money came from to give Andrew to pay off that poor woman. Well, I think it came actually from his late mum. Andy's in Lincoln. Andy, a speech? Yes or no, and why? Good morning.
I don't think he should.
Okay, tell me why, sir.
It's horrible being in a family that's someone's done wrong.
We just need to say that Andrew denies any wrongdoing. But do go on with your point, sir. That's
yeah. But you know, being attacked by every single person is wrong. It's nothing to do with the King. Leave the King alone.
Say that, but all I would say, Andy, I kind of agree, but it's pretty unedifying now. He was heckled last week. He was heckled yesterday. The chances are he'll be heckled again. How much longer do we allow that to go on without... And I quite like the idea, Professor Whitelock's idea, that in a prearranged speech somewhere else, I don't know, opening a hospital or something, he just drops something in there, so it is addressed. Andy.
Nick, put yourself in his position. Your brother goes and does something. It's not on you.
But when I get out of the car, people don't shout at me. What do you know about your brother? What happens.
Why attack the King when it's nothing to do with him?
Please, Andy, respectfully, sir. I'm not attacking the King. I think he's doing a fantastic job, particularly as a man who's not 100% in health. I'm just saying that the monarchy only survives because we want it to. They have to keep that institution going. And you could argue, as a royal commentator who I've known for decades, says this is a real crisis point. Now, your idea, and I'm not saying you're wrong, Andy, is they just pretend it's not happening and you never hear. Can you really do that in the days of social media and people shouting at you when you get out of the car? Andy.
Wrong or right, he shouldn't be attacked. That's all I'm saying. Nick, it's like your brother doing something and you're getting attacked for it.
Right.
And it ain't your fault.
I know, but it is... And I did have two brothers. Sadly, they're no longer with us, but we weren't leave royal family. Many argue we should have been. But that's what makes the huge difference. Andy, I hear what you're saying. There's no disrespect from me towards the King. His brother's slightly different, but it's whether that should change. Andy, thank you for your input. We'll take more calls on that. Also coming up after the news, the fantasist who sparked the VIP child abuse scandal freed from jail under the government's early release scheme. Carl Beach, jailed for 18 years in July 2019, has been released, not due to release until he'd committed half his sentence, has been released early. Former Conservative MP Harvey Proctor spoke back in 2019. He was one of his victims, by the way, upon Beach's sentencing.
The Metropolitan Police going on television and saying that Mr. Beach, their star witness, was credible and true when he was a paedophile.
And Beach, of course, had falsely claimed that Proctor had abused and raped him, and effectively that ruined Harvey Proctor's life. I'll have more on that after this. It's 8.31, Breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari, here on LBC. News time, Dominic Ellis.
A cabinet minister has told Nick on LBC Sir Keir Starmer showed drive and passion in a crunch meeting with his MPs last night. The Prime Minister looks to be safe in his job for now, after resisting calls to quit over the Lord Mandelson scandal. Buckingham Palace says it's ready to support the police if approached about allegations against Andrew Mountbatten Windsor. The latest claims suggest Andrew shared confidential information with Jeffrey Epstein while he was a UK trade envoy. And the government is to write off 90% of councils' deficits on special educational needs spending. Last week, most local authorities in England warned they faced insolvency. LBC weather cloudy for most, with spells of rain falling heavy at times, drier in the south to start, a high of 13 degrees.
Tom Swarbrick on LBC.
Having worked in Downing Street and watched a Prime Minister close up, I can't help but feel sympathy for him. I feel sorry for him. He's had a great career prior to politics. He's had an objectively successful career in politics. He seems a perfectly decent, nice enough man. He is absolutely rubbish at being Prime Minister.
Tom Swarbrick, Monday to Friday from 4 p.m. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
Across the country, thousands of drivers are feeling electric about switching to an EV, and here's why. They can go from London to Sheffield on a single charge that could cost around a fiver. They're ecstatic about that and the exhilarating feeling behind the wheel. Plus, with charging made simple at home, they're always ready for the drive ahead. I can see why they're into it. Switch to an EV and get that electric feeling. Costs and range dependent on tariffs, model and driving habits. For full details, visit gov.uk/cleanenergy.
Selling your car can be super simple if you choose We Buy Any Car, because they sort out any outstanding finance for you. Just bring along your final settlement agreement. If only they could make parallel parking simpler.
To the right a bit, mate. Yeah, back a bit more. Oh, no, too far.
We Buy Any Car, selling made simple. To sell your car today, enter your reg number now at webuyanycar.com.
It's the last chance to get yourself a ticket for Wednesday's Lotto draw.
It could be you.
Lotto, from the National Lottery. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
At Ocado, you'll save 25% on your first shop and get free delivery. Which means if you were to buy a four-cheese pizza, you'd basically be getting one of the cheeses for free. Save and splurge at Ocado, the online supermarket. Geographical and other restrictions. Minimum spend £60 and charges apply. New customers only. Maximum saving £20. Terms at ocado.com.
Why are you abseiling down the front of your house, Ross? You have a staircase.
I like doing things the hard way, Albert.
Try something easier, Ross. Get cheaper off-peak energy. It's available at different times, like during the day or weekends. Just get a smart meter and choose a flexible scheme or tariff.
Ooh, I could batch cook some quiche.
Perfect. With a smart meter, getting cheaper energy is easier than you think.
Eligibility varies. Action required. Schemes and tariffs available to selected customers.
Nick Ferrari at Breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
More on the puzzling story of the early release of the VIP abuse hoaxer Carl Beach in a moment, 8.35. But we're talking about, with the advent of social media, with a less respectful mainstream media than years past, does the King need to address in some way, shape or form events involving his brother Andrew Mountbatten Windsor? Jenny's in Horsham. Jenny, what should be the royal course of action? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. I don't think he can say anything to...
Well, they've acknowledged it, of course. Oh, sorry, a King's spokesman or a palace spokesman has said that they have acknowledged it, talked of the profound concern and ready to work with the Met.
Yes, I think it's all too little too late. What is the point of saying anything? I think the turning point for most fair-minded, decent people was probably when the payment was made. I am just disgusted by the fact that that payment was made. Now, are we supposed to believe that they didn't know anything? I mean, that...
Well, I just have to say... of course, he does continue to protest his innocence. So, legally, yes. But, Jenny, that doesn't mean you can't tell me within reason what your feelings are about that, within reason.
But I think I think there's no point in him saying anything, because it would just make matters worse for the victims.
I mean, It is quite extraordinary. If I was to make a payment of any amount of money, and obviously it wouldn't be 12 million because I'd be wiped out many times over, but I was to make a payment and someone said, I've not done anything wrong, but I'm going to give you £100,000. I mean, extraordinary.
Exactly. And I think at that point, as I say, all credibility was lost. And I think for the victims, it would make matters worse. It's to be continue to be gaslighted in that way. Why cause them more pain unless you're actually going to, which we know they wouldn't, and come clean and say...
All that, I would say lastly, Jenny, that risks the King, possibly being shouted at a few more times at various events.
But that's ridiculous in itself. They're moving people on for peaceful protest, and we're all standing by and letting it happen. They're just hurrying these people away. I think it would be good to hear from the youngsters.
Hold on. Jenny, do you not think, and I'm talking about, talking as I work in offices that are on Leicester Square, so at least every month the whole square is turned over for a movie premiere. And if, for the purpose of debate, I don't know, John Cleese was to come walking down and someone started abusing him, that person would be moved on as well.
But Nick, you see, you're minimising the issue. Well, and this is what people such as you and journalists keep doing. Well, this is about child sex abuse. It's not about someone not liking something John Cleese said. It's too important.
But the King isn't directly involved.
So you think if people are covering up, we have
let's go carefully here because there's no evidence of a cover up that the King
well,
is merely.
No, I'm simply saying. I believe that people should be forced, and we've been fighting for this for years. People should be forced to report anything they know when it comes to child abuse.
I'm totally agreeing with you. And I think where we need to look is that King does everything he can to persuade, if I can use the word force, his brother to testify in some way, shape or form, because he protests his innocence. Well, let's test it in court. Jenny, I have enjoyed our conversation. I absolutely respect your position, and we'll have more on that in a moment. But if we're talking about court affairs, let's go back to the hideous case of the so-called VIP abuse hoaxer, Carl Beach, the fantasist who started that abuse scandal, who now has been quietly freed from jail under the government's early release scheme. Daily Telegraph and the Daily Mail has this story, how he was jailed for 18 years in July 2019 after he falsely claimed to have been raped and abused by a group of high-profile politicians and public figures. He is a convicted paedophile himself, not due for release until he'd completed half his term, which would not be until March 2028. Now the papers can reveal he was freed from jail last week. And let's turn to the son of one of his victims. Now, I mentioned his victims include Sir Ted Heath, Lord Britton, Harvey Proctor, Sir Maurice Oldfield, Greville Janner, General Sir Hugh Beach, and also Lord Bramall, the retired Armed Forces Chief Field Marshal, who served at D-Day. His son, Nicholas Bramall, joins me now. Thank you for coming on, sir. Were you made
aware?
Good morning. Good morning, sir. When did they let you know about Beach's release?
They didn't. The first I heard was when your radio station rang me this morning.
Your reaction, Mr. Bramall?
Surprised that he served such a short body sentence. But I suppose in today's world, not unexpected.
What is the impact it had on your late father?
The impact was huge. I mean, he's a man who had served his country with a certain amount of distinction. He'd been obviously got to the top of his profession. He'd been vetted. One day, 24 officers arrived at his house without any sort of warning, and he was unaware of exactly why they were there. It took him quite a long time to actually find out that there'd been some complaint 20 years ago. But he was a tough soldier, and he certainly didn't hide away from it. He said, this is absolute rubbish. I don't really blame Carl Beach. I blame the Metropolitan Police for their crass stupidity.
You mentioned your father's distinctions. He was a Knight Companion of the Order of the Garter, Knight Grand Cross of the Order of the Bath, OBE. He had the Military Cross, the Knight Order of St. John, and he was mentioned in dispatches, and he served at D-Day. Did he know that the accusations were false prior to his death, Mr. Bremmel?
He did, yes. My mother didn't. So she died unaware of... She had dementia, so she was muddled, but she knew something awful had happened.
Lastly, you don't sound as the sort of bloke who is vindictive in any fashion, but when I tell you that the man who caused your father, and indeed your mother, such upset, should actually have served 2 more years in jail and has been quietly released, clearly without you or any of the other relatives, people affected, how do you react to that, Mr. Bremmel?
I think it's appalling, actually. I mean, I don't quite understand the mechanics of, you know, why he was released so early. I mean...
It's because the jails are full, sir.
So the jails are full, yes. I can... But, I mean, he, as I said, he never... I mean, Carl Beach was a very troubled man, I think, and my father never laid the blame at his door. He laid it at the police for believing him.
Grateful for your time. Thank you for taking the call. I think you're in transit, which is why it's a bit difficult. Nicholas Bramwell, thank you, the son of Lord Bramwell, the retired Armed Forces Field Marshal, with all those distinctions. I won't run through them again, but clearly, as you say, a tough old soldier. Now, it's worth reminding you, the Met described Beach's claims as, quotes, credible and true, and spent 2 years and millions of pounds investigating the lies, raiding the homes of some of those falsely accused. Quite extraordinary that story ever went that far. 8:43, the other story is getting some journey and some travel and some distance, is, of course, the Epstein files and how King Charles should react. Julia's in Bromley. Julia on the radio, good morning.
Good morning. Yes, I definitely think that he should speak out on the issue.
How does he do it? Does he have a prearranged speech? To use the example again, he's opening a hospital and he drops a few paragraphs into you in a journalistic expression. Does he make an address solely on this? What would you say is preferable?
I mean, I would say absolutely not. I don't think it's such a serious, offensive and upsetting issue for a lot of people that I think it deserves an actual head-on announcement. And whether you believe, I think there's lots of things that are getting conflated at the moment, you know, people trying to relate to him as a brother, I don't think is what should be focused on. He is the head of an institution. His role here is to set a moral standard. It's to set the tone. It's to the fact, and this is the problem with a royal family. You have a selection of people with different moral codes. But I think it's really important, if you are going to have a royal family, that you have an institution that does uphold the morals and the beliefs and a system of the country that they are in charge of. So silence just won't work. Silence will lead to conspiracy theories. It will lead to people feeling that actually you're trying to hide something. You actually have, when you have something as serious as this that has reverberated all around the world,
yes,
silence is not okay. It's not okay for King Charles. It's not okay for Keir Starmer. You need leaders that are prepared to stand up and say, this is what this institution or this government stands for.
Julia, thank you. It's interesting you mentioned Sir Keir Starmer. Julia, have a good day down in Bromley. Because in a related conversation earlier in the show, in the first hour, talking about Sir Keir's address to a rather unruly Labour Party at the moment, or his Labour colleagues, some of whom have spoken openly about the need for him to go. He seems to have done enough. He seems to have calmed everyone down. But in the speech last night to his colleagues, he said he wanted to clean up politics. What did he mean? I asked one of his senior colleagues in the previous hour, Energy Secretary Ed Miliband, what is Sir Keir on about?
Look, we've got to take a long, hard look at the way that this was allowed to happen, but also, more widely, what does this teach us about money in politics, about connections in politics, and how you deal with that?
That's in the next hour, actually. It's 8:45 now. LBC News headlines, then. Dominic Ellis.
Sir Keir Starmer will attempt to move on from speculation about his future in Number 10 after surviving renewed calls to resign.
Buckingham Palace says it stands ready to support any police investigation into Andrew Mountbatten Windsor, and the government is to write off 90% of council deficits on special educational needs spending. LBC weather. Cloudy for most, with spells of rain falling heavy at times, drier in the south to start. A high of 13 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Albert Bridge remains closed both ways for those emergency repair works, so that's causing delays, especially northbound over Battersea Bridge, but also Chelsea Bridge Road is closed southbound from the Pimlico Road following an accident, so that's adding to the delays in the area. At Upper Norwood, Beulah Hill is closed both ways after a car was on fire, and that's causing delays back to South Norwood Hill and also back to Crystal Palace. At Elephant and Castle, the New Kent Road was closed briefly eastbound, and that was because a van broke down. It's been recovered now, but it's still very slow. Long delays on the M1 northbound to junction 12 at Flitwick. A car's broken down, and also still very slow on the North Circular Road southbound to the A12 after a lorry broke down.
LBC.
Chase is the digital bank that gives you 1% cash back on groceries.
So can I get cash back on cake mix?
Indeed.
And icing?
Yep.
And sprinkles?
Sure.
And candles?
Yeah, and you can turn all that cash back into a nice birthday treat.
How do you know it's my birthday?
Just a hunch. Get 1% cash back on groceries, fuel and everyday transport when you spend with Chase. Search Chase Bank. 18 plus UK residents. 1% cash back on this debit card spending for your first year. Maximum £15 per month. Eligibility and exceptions apply. May be changed or withdrawn.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. LBC.
This year, LBC joins Vauxhall, proud partner of Team GB, in supporting our extraordinary athletes at the Milano Cortina 2026 Olympic Winter Games.
I'm Matt Weston, representing Team GB in the sports skeleton in Milano Cortina 2026. Been a bit of a crazy journey since my last Olympics in Beijing 2022. I've had a pretty successful few years, two-time world champion and three-time Crystal Globe. It's been pretty successful. Can't wait to go back to Milan and represent GB on the highest stage possible.
For your chance to win £1,000 thanks to Vauxhall, head to lbc.co.uk.
I'm Leah, and this is my NHS story. I could just feel my body didn't feel right, and my GP referred me to CDC. Had some blood tests done, and within 24 hours I had my results. And that just reassured me that I was being taken seriously.
The government is opening new community diagnostic centres, with many already available 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, so the NHS can be there for all of us when we need it. Find your closest one at gov.uk/NHS Fit for the Future. Available England-wide.
All right, resistance up. Let's climb.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, my knee's playing up again.
Have you ever had it looked at?
No, but I've been doing a few stretches.
When my shoulder went, Benenden Health got me expert help. Showed me exactly where I was going wrong.
30 seconds, people.
Press play on your health with physiotherapy and much more. All for less than £16 per person per month. Search Benenden Health. Fee review periodically. T's and C's apply. Qualifying periods apply for some services, including physio. UK only. Visit benenden.co.uk.
To be or not to be.
Right now, we're offering a range of incentives across Audi models.
That is the...
But only until the 28th of February.
The,
So stop whatever you're doing.
I'll be right back. Just carry on without me.
And find yours online or at your local Audi centre. Audi. Vorsprung der Technik. Terms and conditions apply. Selected models, retail customers and participating Audi centres only.
Tonight's Euro Millions jackpot is £33 million.
I think that deserves a whoop whoop. Whoop whoop! Thank you, far away person. Get in tonight's Euro Millions draw. Play on app.
Estimated jackpot. Account terms, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
Heckled last week, heckled yesterday. Is it time for a King's speech? Who's been hanging on the longest? Andrew, appropriately named Andrew. Andrew in Leeds. What are you going to say, Andrew? Good morning.
I just think there's a wider issue here around people that are just making up and making their opinions and trialling convicting based on just what they're reading in the news and coming out with comments around the payments that have been made. We're in a society now where people just jump to conclusions without even properly looking at the evidence and the information. And I think we need to look at how people are reacting to that And there does need to be a speech from the king to try and calm some of these issues and say, look, he's doing what he needs to do.
What does he need to say? If he does make... You mean solely on this, or he puts it in another speech that he was already due to give? Which way would you play it?
I think he needs to make a special address to say he is going to do what is the right thing to do. But I think people need to stop jumping to conclusions and wait for all the evidence to come out.
Right. Unfortunately, there is an appetite, of course, now, fueled by, I admit, stations like this and other mainstream media and social media that we just can't hang around. We want answers yesterday.
Yes. And I think that's a bit dangerous, especially when you look at previous people that have been accused of things, a bit like Cliff Richard when he was accused, and it all came out that there was no evidence and there was no criminal activity or anything.
Yep.
And yet he got dragged through the mud, and his career could have been destroyed. Same with other people.
Yep.
People jump to conclusions, and it causes harm. And when people are talking about payments that have been made, I think some people are innocent, and it's essentially just damage control. They're trying to limit damage when they are innocent, but where people are obviously doing things they shouldn't be doing, like with connections to Epstein, it all needs to come out. And they need to justify what they've done and explain it, and if necessary, go to prison. But people shouldn't be trialling and convicting based on what they see on social media.
Just lastly, and we must say, of course, that Andrew Mountbatten-Windsor denies any wrongdoing.
Yep.
Do you not least raise an eyebrow that a payment of £12 million is made, but there's no crime taking place? And by the way, I, of course, agree with Andrew Mountbatten, but do you not find it rather puzzling? Can I put it like that?
I find it suspicious, and I think that needs to be addressed. But the question is, why was that payment made? And that's what needs to come out. Because is it that he is innocent and it's just damage control money? Or has he done something that is illegal and that needs to come out? People need to be honest.
They do. People need to be honest all the time. And I'd better say it again. Of course, Andrew Mountbatten-Windsor denies any wrongdoing. Andrew, thank you. George in Wimbledon. George, your reaction.
Hello.
What should happen now?
Well, I think it really is serious. I mean, as the lady was just saying earlier, we're talking about a man, Andrew, having exceptionally close ties with a man who was raping and trafficking women on a global scale. Over 1,000 women's lives have been destroyed. And I think the sad reality, in my view, is that the king's generation, not saying that he necessarily himself, but that generation put up with this kind of stuff. The queen gave him 12 million quid to silence an alleged victim. And it's unforgivable, whether or not he was guilty. So I think this is potentially the time when, given that they always put the monarchy first, they turn a blind eye to put the monarchy first, this is when the king has the opportunity to stand up to the country and say, my health is what it is. I'm going to abdicate and pass down to the next generation. Because William and Kate are completely unblemished. If it's this serious...
Hang on. So is the king, George. The king isn't involved in any way, shape or form. He didn't authorise the payment. That was his late mother. He's not involved in this. And unfortunately, they're no longer on this planet. But my brothers are no longer alive. But I wasn't responsible for their actions and they weren't responsible for mine.
My point is two things. First of all, if they want to, if it is this grave for the monarchy and they're in this level of peril, then it's not about who's guilty or not. It's about saving the monarchy. That's the first thing. And the second thing is, you know, guilty by omission to some extent. When you turn a blind eye to a man who was so close to Jeffrey Epstein, you've got to be culpable of...
Okay, you say turn a blind eye. He's been stripped of all royal titles and favours. He's been moved out of his royal lodge. He's effectively been placed in exile up in Norfolk.
Nick, all of these things have happened because they've been forced and pushed into a corner, and that's what's always happened with that generation. William and Kate will be fresh and new, and they can save the monarchy, and that's what I want. I look at this man in tweed, and I see a generation that's had it.
All right. Many see, of course, a generation of considerable experience that he learnt from his mother, who was, of course, the longest-serving monarch. George, it's a view. You say now, I think that would make it worse. But let's see what others make of it. George, thank you. Steve's in Nottingham. Steve, the idea of an abdication now to try and draw a line under it, how do you respond to that?
Well, I think that would be a very good thing, at the very least. Not least because Prince Charles has form, I'm sorry, in defending paedophiles, Do you remember Peter Ball? I think he was a reverend in the Anglican Church.
This was the paedophile bishop, Peter Ball.
Bishop, yes, of course.
That's right. And there are letters between Prince Charles and the bishop read to what was called the Independent Inquiry into Child Sexual Abuse. Ball spoke of a malicious campaign against him and harassment by fraudulent accusers. The prince said, "I wish I could do more. I feel so desperately strong about the monstrous things, that have been done to you." What do you take from it?
He was then convicted of those monstrous things, and the king was lied to.
The king wasn't involved in it, though. I mean, it's very, very different to what Andrew is accused of. This is chalk and cheese.
Yeah, but maybe this is why the king is surrendering Andrew to the police, as far as I can see. The king is inviting the police to arrest Andrew.
Well, he's saying they'll... Well, a spokesman is saying the palace will do everything it can to support police in their inquiries.
Yeah.
It's a very, very different... I mean, there was the Peter Ball case that you've referenced, which goes back to, the early mid-90s, there was no involvement by the king, whereas obviously with Andrew Mountbatten-Windsor there are allegations of a considerable level of involvement. So I don't think we're comparing quite like with like, are we?
Well, I think he's defending, this defence of "I was lied to." If I allowed to use that defence in a court of law, well, if I did something similar.
Yes, Starmer's just used it with Peter Mandelson, isn't he?
Well, precisely, and we'll see what happens. We'll see whether, he's...
The jury's still out on that. All right, Steve, thank you. The Peter Ball case, don't see it as quite a fair comparison, or example. Let's come back to the idea of George's idea, that the only way to draw a line under it is to effectively usher in the next generation. Natasha's in Oxford. Natasha, your take on that. Good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Hello.
I agree. This could be a turning point in history where we draw a line under abuse of women and children that has been going on for generations in so many different ways, what we're seeing with the monarchy, what we've seen with the rape gang inquiry. I don't think it's just men in tweed, because Rupert Lowe is a man in tweed and he's doing a great job at helping women and children.
Right.
But it's the mindset.
If you are sick enough to abuse children or to abuse women, why would a king abdicating make the slightest bit of difference to your mindset?
I don't think he should abdicate, but I think that he is not communicating there's no vision from Charles to say this is the end of a dark era in history where women and children have been abused and those in power...
More power to your words. I think just by a king saying it, it won't automatically mean that it happens, but obviously the sentiment is something we would all support. Thank you, Natasha. Kieran says, "I 100% agree with your caller, George. This is the generation of Epstein. It's time for a new monarchy." David says, "Starmer must go. The king must go. We'll be dusting off our pitchforks next." All right, coming up after the news. As Sir Keir Starmer says he wants to clean up politics, what does that mean? To Iran, a fresh wave of protests on the way, but why no protests in much of the West about the mass killings? And
Sir Keir Starmer's sharing his cabinet as he grapples to save his government. I'm LBC's Natasha Clark, trying to get answers from ministers.
Yes, she'll be shouting at cabinet ministers as they come and go. News on LBC is next.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 9 o'clock, Sir Keir Starmer looks to be safe in his job for the time being after mounting a strong defence of his leadership. He's been under pressure following the decision to hire Lord Mandelson despite his known links to Jeffrey Epstein. Sir Keir told a meeting of his MPs last night that he's not prepared to abandon his mandate. Labour MP Carl Turner says Sir Keir was angry, reflective and apologetic.
I'll tell you something, I texted the PM when I was on the train. I had to come back up to Hull. I texted him on the train and I said, "Listen, more of that publicly, my word, the polling will soon shift in the right direction. Make no mistake, it was absolutely superb."
Lord Mandelson has denied any wrongdoing in connection with Epstein. The Prime Minister is hosting a cabinet meeting in Number 10 this morning. Sir Keir Starmer is facing having to further rebuild his team of senior officials. The Cabinet Secretary Sir Chris Wormald will reportedly leave his post in the coming days. The Cabinet Minister Ed Miliband refused to comment when speaking to Nick earlier.
I don't know. I'm not going to comment on the speculation about...
But if he does cabinet, that's rather embarrassing, isn't it? If Sir Chris Wormald is true and he's negotiating...
I'm not going to get into Chris Wormald.
That will be three or four days. The headlines will start again. We need Ed Miliband to calm the horses.
You're extremely tempting in so many ways, but I'm not going to get into Chris Wormald.
In other news this morning, Buckingham Palace says it stands ready to support the police if it's approached about the conduct of Andrew Mountbatten Windsor. Officers are assessing new allegations that he shared confidential reports from his role as the UK's trade envoy with Jeffrey Epstein. Andrew has previously denied any wrongdoing in relation to Jeffrey Epstein. The government is to spend £5 billion paying off 90% of councils' debts on special educational needs spending. Last week, most local authorities in England warned that they could go bankrupt after a significant increase in demand for services. Bin workers in Birmingham have voted to continue taking industrial action in their long-running dispute over pay. Unite says its members have overwhelmingly decided to extend their walkout past local elections in May and into September. The union claims that the local council is now refusing to negotiate, but the local authority maintains Unite has rejected fair and reasonable offers. And 18-year-olds will be allowed to drive trains from the end of June. The government has confirmed that the minimum age limit will be reduced from 20. There are concerns about the number of drivers approaching retirement. In the city a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading down 42 at 10,344. The pound buys $1.36 and €1.14. LBC weather, cloudy for most, with spells of rain falling heavy at times. Drier in the south this morning, a high of 13 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
Some companies try to reel people in by promising quick cash if you pay them to claim work expenses. But think twice before taking the bait, because they might just want to land a commission, and it turns out you aren't eligible to claim anything. You'll have to pay HMRC back, and it's unlikely the company will refund any fees. So don't get caught out. Check if you're eligible and make a claim with HMRC for free online. Just search Don't Get Caught Out.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning, 3 minutes after nine on Tuesday, February the 10th. To calm his rebellious troops, Sir Keir Starmer promised that he would take full responsibility. Also promised to, quote, clean up politics, reportedly. What does he mean by that? How would you... Dear God, it's a task, isn't it? How would you clean up politics? In other news, reports that there could be another wave of protests in Iran. The death toll is said by some to be at 35,000. The government accepts 3,500 and 50,000 have been jailed. President Trump spoke of a beautiful armada making its way and for the protests to continue. And yet, no protests here in the United Kingdom at all. No demonstrations on the weekend about the mass killings. Why might that be? Is it the only protest come when it's Jews involved? And then, of course, ready to protest straight away anything that Israel might do or might suggest that it will do. Then you get them on the streets. What's the difference for the left? Why can't they face up to that one? Plus, mixing with a, quotes, murderer, close quotes. Prince William off to Saudi Arabia, shaking hands with Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. Reported by many, of course, to authorise the killing of journalist Jamal Khashoggi. Is that a good look for Prince William?
Firstly, we're concerned and primarily by the human rights situation in Saudi Arabia and what a visit like this signifies. The human rights situation for ordinary Saudis remains extremely oppressive.
And that's Felix Jenkins from Amnesty International talking with LBC. That's later in the hour.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Fighting for his political life, apparently, and we've now heard from Ed Miliband, who was in the room when it happened. The Prime Minister said he accepts full responsibility for the Miliband affair, Morgan McSweeney and whatever else it might be, and also promised to clean up politics. Now, I won't take you back. There's a long advance on your age. You could possibly go back to the Suez Crisis. The Perfumo Affair, I was on the planet by then. The Jeremy Thorpe Affair, Western Castle Questions, dodgy dossiers, Iraq Wars, expenses, scandals, Partygate and Prosecco. Where do you start? So how would you clean up politics? Back to that meeting last night for the Labour Party, for the Labour Prime Minister, I asked Mr Miliband what the Prime Minister meant when he told him and all his colleagues he wanted to clean up politics.
Look, I think anyone who's been, any government that's faced, has seen what's happened in the last couple of weeks with Mandelson, will say, look, we've got to take a long, hard look at the way that this was allowed to happen, the whole vetting processes and all of that. But also, more widely, what does this teach us about money in politics, about connections in politics, and how you deal with that? I think we need to, you know, it's not about rushing into it with a knee-jerk set of proposals. Gordon Brown set forward some proposals about how we can have, you know, greater cleaning up of politics. We need to look at all of these issues.
We'll be talking in a moment what polling shows about trust in politics with Robert and for now Lord Hayward. But first to George Pascoe Watson, broadcaster, columnist, long-serving, award-winning and political editor at The Sun, now a partner at the Shillings firm, joins me now. I seem to think, George, and you'll know better than I, often when prime ministers are in trouble like this, they say, it's time to clean up politics. What do you think he's trying to get at? Morning, George.
Nick, what I think is happening here is the culmination of many, many years, and this story is not yet over, and I think we've got a long road to go before we see the very end of this particular saga. And, of course, at the same time that this is happening, the real big issues facing the country are not being resolved because the Prime Minister, his ministers, MPs, the civil service, advisers, everybody's caught up in this circus, whilst we've actually got really genuinely huge issues facing Britain and we're not taking the big decisions. So it's not really for me about cleaning up politics. It's about making sure that the Prime Minister is empowered, whoever the Prime Minister is, to focus on the issues that really matter.
And you're right, because we know unemployment is at an 11-year high. We've not got the growth that we need. There are job losses all the time. And as an experienced political watcher was telling me yesterday, when things like this happen, there's a period of, I think you call it, stasis that emerges. Because if we're working for a certain department, we don't know if our Secretary of State is going to be the next Prime Minister, whether he's in or whether he's out, whether he's up or whether he's down. So it's very difficult to get your day job done, George.
And every single cabinet minister who thinks they are in with a chance of becoming the next prime minister, if Keir Starmer stands down, is constantly gauging where their popularity is with the Labour MPs, with the trade unions, and all their time is spent focusing on that. Meanwhile, we have the potential of sort of Third World War. We have not enough spent on defence. We have not enough money coming into the economy because too many businesses are not paying enough tax in this day and age because they're not generating the revenue. You said unemployment and so on and so forth. And all of these things are the reasons why we are in the state we're in. And the Mandelson saga is an individual story with huge depth and real scandal. But at the same time, it's important to point out to our listeners and viewers that not all of the 650 MPs are the same as Peter Mandelson. You know, many of them, most of them, get up every day, really work hard, really try and do their best in a system which is now itself beginning to show that it may not be fit for the purpose of this 21st century.
Where do you see the story going next, George, if you were back in the newsroom of The Sun and the editor asked you that?
Well, there really is only one question, and I think the newspapers have all got it this morning, and the question is, how long can the Prime Minister survive in office? Because that's the thing that really matters, and unless something dramatically changes, I think that's where all the big questions are. And then, who's next?
Lastly, who's going to be in their job longer, Sir Keir Starmer or Gregor Townsend? Just to remind my listeners, he's the Scotland rugby coach. Big game coming up this Saturday. You going up there for the Calcutta Cup, George?
I can't bring myself to take the pressure. Another loss after losing to the Italians. A very grim day being a Scot, I'm afraid.
I might give you a call on Saturday night. Let's see which way it goes. George, thanks. George Pascoe Watson, former award-winning political editor of The Sun, now partner at Shillings broadcaster as well. So what are you thinking? What are you saying? Robert, now Lord Hayward, is a polling expert and Conservative peer and joins me now. Has there been polling done recently on the aspect of wanting to clean up politics where we are with the level of trust or lack of level of trust, Robert? Good morning.
Good morning. I should say before we start the conversation on that, that I'm a former rugby referee.
Ah, so, I thought you were going to say you were Welsh. I was really nervous there, Robert.
Obsessed by rugby, I'm afraid. So. But back to the subject in hand, there haven't been specific polls that I'm aware of which have said, what do you think about politicians? Rate them 1 to 10 or whatever. But what there have been is a series of very clear indications. The biggest indication actually took place at the general election in 2024, when the turnout dropped by almost 10%. Mm. In other words, 10% more of the population said it's not worth the effort. And large numbers of people were saying they didn't want the Tories, but they weren't saying that they wanted somebody else. My very clear impression now, and you look at the polls that say, do you want Keir Starmer to continue as Prime Minister? The majority, by a rate of 2-1, say no, they don't. So there's very clear indication that what we've got is an ongoing problem in terms of the actions of certain politicians. And I'd agree with George in that many politicians at national level, but also local councillors, work damned hard for their communities. Sorry, but they do work incredibly hard, and it's unfortunate that the public react by saying, oh well, that's all politicians. It's not the system. I'm afraid it is specific individuals that don't ask enough questions.
Robert, I know there's no metric, I know there's no measure, but how much damage has Mandelson done to the business of politics in this country?
A lot. Because, as I was just saying, it confirms all the worst suspicions of the public at large that there is money in the system in one direction or another, that people are interested in themselves. And there's no question that, yes, Prime Minister can get a very good response in Committee Room 14, but those MPs will be going out to their constituencies over the weekend, and I'm afraid the level of cynicism will be higher than I've ever known it, I'm afraid.
And lastly, a conversation. As a polling expert, the figure you shared with us a moment or three ago, the numbers down 10%, that's a huge worry, just for the whole future of democracy in this country.
It is incredibly depressing. I'm a very keen Democrat. I want people to want to participate in elections. But I'm afraid the very clear indication, the numbers of people registering to go on the electoral roll, then the people who are turning out of elections, is diminishing in this country. And it's a depressing statement on our politics.
Before I let you go, something of almost equal importance, but not quite importance. Do you think the final game on the final day in the final week of the Six Nations will be the final, i.e. England v France in Paris? Are they the two top teams, Robert?
They are, and I think it will be, yes.
And who triumphs?
I'm an Englishman. I'm a proud Englishman.
Were you at Twickenham on Saturday?
I wasn't.
Okay.
I watched the game.
It was a warm-up.
In a pub. I was depressed for Wales, for the standard that they put in, the final try. Scored by a player whose autograph I've actually got on my desk here. It was three missed tackles by the Welsh that allowed him to get in, effectively on a 6 or 7 metre run.
Robert Hayward, knowledgeable on all matters rugby and polling. Thank you, Lord Hayward, Conservative peer polling expert. And now over to you. Depending on your age, tune in where you like. If you're from the 50s, the Suez Crisis. If you're from the 60s, the Profumo Fair. If you're from the 70s, the Jeremy Thorpe affair, cleaning up politics, and then the 80s and 90s, they just keep on ticking around. The Westland affair, the cash for questions, the dodgy dossier. Every decade I could keep on going. And then we're into Partygate, of course, and Prosecco and goodness knows what else. How to clean up politics. Bear in mind, you can't expect them to be full disclosure every day, every single email or minute or message is published. You're not going to be able to do business like that. And by the very body of politics, there's always going to be a bit of conniving and scheming and a wheeling and a dealing. But what is the way forward? Plus, if we're talking about it, should we go to number 10?
Mr. Miliband. Mr. Miliband, would you like another go at the leadership?
Ed. That's LBC's political and intelligence clerk. It sounded like a police officer joining in, shouting at people to see if they want to comment. We'll join Natasha later in the hour. 9:15 LBC News headlines. Dominic Ellis. Ed.
The Prime Minister is due to host a meeting of his cabinet after surviving his most damaging day yet as Prime Minister. Buckingham Palace says it stands ready to support the police if it's approached about the conduct of Andrew Mountbatten Windsor. And bin workers in Birmingham have voted to continue taking industrial action in their long-running dispute over pay. LBC weather cloudy for most, with spells of rain falling heavy at times, drier in the south. To start, a high of 13 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Long delays on the M25 clockwise from about 3 miles before junction 30 at the A13 to just before the QE2 bridge. It was after an accident that happened earlier on the bridge. Everything's open now, but it's still very slow. Albert Bridge remains closed both ways for those emergency works. It's very busy in the area, especially northbound over Battersea Bridge. On the North Circular Road, there are northbound keys to Gunnersbury Park. That's where a van's broken down. Also, the delays continue on the M4 eastbound onto the elevated section. There are delays of around 20 minutes. On the trains, London Northwestern services aren't running between Watford Junction and St Albans Abbey. And on the Underground, there are severe delays on the District Line.
This is LBC.
Right, it's just the grocery shop left to do now. Then I'm going to treat myself to those new trainers.
Whoa! Don't go checking out just yet.
Huh?
I've got one thing to ask.
What's that?
Did you quit coal?
Oh, of course. I nearly forgot.
Don't miss out. Get cash back on your groceries, new clothes, holidays and more with Quidco.
Ka-ching.
Quidco account required. 16 plus UK only. T's and C's apply.
This is LBC. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app. Download it now from your app store.
Donations to British Heart Foundation fund scientific research that can help save lives. People like Joe, who's pitching his next big business plan. Maria, who's sending out her wedding invitations. And Jack, who's just being a teenager again. Because when you donate, you fund more than just science. You help save lives. British Heart Foundation funds research that aims to cure inherited heart muscle diseases. But our work is not done. Donate now at bhf.org.uk and keep us beating.
It's the last chance to get yourself a ticket for Wednesday's Lotto draw.
It could be you.
Lotto. From the National Lottery. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Sunlight's guaranteed over 50 plan. Gave confidence to Jane and Chris. With their insurance sorted, they're becoming naturists. Cutting loose in their birthday suits, feeling elegant and free. But when they answered the door, the postman saw more than he expected to see. Sunlight, a little confidence goes a long way. No medical questions and a cash payout. Search Sunlight cover today.
Premiums paid could exceed the payout. Full cover after 1 year. Ages 49 to 85.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
So, they all do it, don't they? We're going to clean up politics. I'll just quickly go through, because there is one for every decade. But once you get into the 50s, you had the Suez Crisis, which, of course, that ultimately, actually, that did force the resignation of Anthony Eden, the Prime Minister, when you think about it, didn't it? Then there's the Profumo Affair, which ultimately led to the downfall of then-Prime Minister Harold Macmillan. Jeremy Thorpe Affair, well, of course, Jeremy Thorpe was not the Prime Minister, he was the leader of the Liberal Party. He was tried for conspiring to murder his former male lover, Norman Scott, and I think he managed to pay someone to shoot the dog or something. The Westland Affair, that was arguably one of the biggest bumps in the road at that time for Margaret Thatcher. Cash for Questions is in the 90s. A number of MPs, most of whom are Conservatives, accused of taking money in brown envelopes from the late tycoon Mohammed Al-Fayed to ask questions in Parliament. Then once you're into the 2000s, you've got the dodgy dossier, you've got 45 Minutes, you've got the Iraq War, you've got, of course, the death of David Kelly. Did he take his life? There are other more sinister suggestions. Then towards the end of that decade, you've got the expenses scandal. That was extraordinary, the expenses scandal. Remember the sort of things the MPs were claiming for? The duck house, the moat cleaning, tax evasion. And even now, if you talk about tax evasion, we'll come right back up to 2026, although this took place last year. The allegation that Angela Rayner, of course, managed to avoid paying the full amount of tax when she purchased a place in Hove in Sussex. So on and on it goes. So it's quite a task to clean up politics. And how would you go about it? David's in Hammersmith. David, you've got a radical idea, I'm told. Come on, be radical. I love radical thinking.
Morning, Nick.
Morning, sir.
With the greatest pleasure. The big problem that I think Starmer's got, the country's got, and why confidence is lost in politics is because The people that we have in Parliament don't truly represent the views of the electorate. I don't think anybody would disagree with that, and you even had somebody on pointing to it. So the place you have to start is with the electoral system, and we need to change the electoral system so that everybody's vote counts. Now the question is, how do you do that, and what's the best way to do it? And the answer to that is a system called two past the post. So you use the single transferable vote method of choosing, and you choose two candidates from each constituency. So you have half as many constituencies with two candidates.
And what you still get to 600 odd then?
So you still stick with the same number of MPs. You just elect them in a different mechanism. But with the different mechanism of two past the post, you will return two MPs per constituency. But what you will do with a single transferable vote is that you will much better represent the views of people within those constituencies. Every vote will count. And what you'll get is, if you're in a very, let's say, traditionally Tory area, you'll get two MPs. Traditionally Labour area, you'll get two Labour MPs. But in other areas where there's a split of views, you'll get the two MPs that best reflect the views of those constituents. And then we will have a parliament made up with people who are much more trusted by the electorate. We will not get all this politicking, because part of the politicking comes because you've got a prime minister trying to put in centrist policies and left-wing MPs who are trying to undermine it.
Can I just... I think you've explained the idea brilliantly. I can absolutely see the plus points, and I think it's something worth considering. But what I don't understand is, why will that necessarily clean... I see why it will make it more representative, and actually it's quite a good idea, because the constituents at which I live, there's absolutely no point in my voting anything but Labour, because they would be returned, if it was a disgrace to respect to my MP, a donkey with a red rosette. But how will this clean up politics?
Well, basically, you then have to look at the point I was about to go on to is...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Is that when you've got a situation that, like we've got now, where Starmer is trying to hold his government more centrist, there's an awful lot of MPs who are much more left, who are out to get him because he's not implementing the policies completely that they think is true Labour. So they'll go for anything to undermine him. And the minute that happens, they're looking for scandals, they're looking for problems, and you want to take all of that out.
You do, but why will this make them less corrupt, lastly?
Well, the answer is...
And I want to say they're not all corrupt, that was awful, because I do feel sorry, genuinely sorry, for most of them who work damn hard. They come in for all the right reasons, and they get polluted or stained by everyone else. So just, why will this suddenly make those who are corrupt less corrupt?
Basically, if you've got corrupt people, then you're going to need some other measures. Mm. But I agree with you that the majority of politicians are not corrupt.
They're not. And unfortunately, that work does not really go. It goes rather unheralded. David, I think it's a really clever idea, and one that's worth more thought. But we'll come, thank you, and we'll come back to the idea of cleaning up politics in just a moment. But let's go straight to, appropriately enough, to Number 10 Downing Street. LBC's political editor, Natasha Clark, has been watching, I was going to say the comings and the goings. I would imagine it's mostly comings, they're not Dominic. The comings all in position, all the cabinet ministers are in and counted for. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Yes, a big day for the Prime Minister now as he attempts to get his government back on track after the disaster that happened yesterday with the Labour leader, Anas Sarwar. I've been watching all of the cabinet arriving here at Number 10 Downing Street in the last half an hour or so and trying to get a few answers out of some government ministers.
Lisa Nandy, is the Prime Minister safe? Mr Miliband?
Ed, over here, Ed.
Mr Miliband, would you like another go at the leadership?
Ed.
That was Lisa Nandy and Ed Miliband as they were entering. And yes, they're all inside at the moment. The Prime Minister obviously doing his rallying cry, getting them all coming back together. I'm told also that the Prime Minister is going to be out and about this afternoon. I'm told it's going to be part of a cost of living tour. So we should be hearing from the Prime Minister himself after that very, very difficult day that he had yesterday. And obviously we saw every single cabinet minister yesterday, Nick, tweet their support for the Prime Minister. I wonder if they will be as kind to his face as they were about him on social media yesterday.
Lastly, Natasha, typically, what is the duration of a cabinet meeting?
Oh, it depends, Nick. It depends on how much they've got to focus on. I imagine this one is going to be quite a long one. I imagine his cabinet are going to, you know, be determined to talk about all the things that they're doing to get on with the job, to get on with delivering for the people and delivering that, you know, economic and social mandate that the people gave them last year. It could be anything from 45 minutes up to an hour and a half, but I think this one is probably going to go on for a little bit longer than we might expect usually.
LBC's political editor, Tasha Clark, reporting from Downing Street. We'll come back to our calls about how to clean up politics. Tyler, you'll be on that, but I want to come to another story. And if you, like me, peruse all the morning newspapers in the morning, you will have seen photographs of Prince William on the front page of some of them, standing next to the Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman of Saudi Arabia. This is as Prince William was given a tour of a UNESCO World Heritage Site. Now, I remind you that a US intelligence report has found that Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman approved the murder of the exiled British journalist Jamal Khashoggi back in 2018, saying the prince approved the plan specifically to capture or to kill Khashoggi. We read in one paper today, The Times, that the two men, the Crown Prince and Prince of Wales and the Crown Prince, met. They had a guided tour, an intimate dinner. Substantive meetings were held with the de facto leader of Saudi Arabia, and there were warm greetings from two men. Does that just sit slightly badly with you that, I'm putting this words in quotes, the Prince of Wales is mixing with a, quotes, murderer? Well, let's turn to Lewis Oakley, broadcaster, LGBT plus campaigner, co-host of the Bisexual Brunch podcast. And there are other issues that you want to explore about Saudi and about the Crown Prince. Tell the listeners what they are. Lewis, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I mean, Saudi Arabia criminalises LGBT people, so same-sex relationships are punishable by imprisonment, flogging, in theory even death, although I wasn't able to find any sort of recent instances of that. Yeah. Although, you know, they're not going to really go promoting that to the world. But the reality is it comes to, like, these high-profile royal visits. And, look, I do think we have to have diplomacy. We have to have conversations. We can't talk to them. Things aren't going to improve, but it's about the way you do it, really, because you do risk legitimizing this behavior and this way of doing things. It sends a confusing message to LGBT people in the UK, and I think worldwide, about how seriously we take equality and human rights if Prince William is able to go there and be smiling about everything. These high-profile visits in the past as well, because, you know, as much as I say soft power is good, actually, have they really manifested any meaningful change over the years? I don't think so. And I think engagement without sort of a clear public conditions, and look, we want to talk about this and we're not happy about this, it just risks legitimizing what they're doing. And it undermines our credibility. You know, we can't say we hold ourselves to higher standards and then be going and sending our soft power royals to go and make friends with them.
You are to be undoubtedly praised, Lewis, for your realistic attitude, because you do have to talk to these people, but you also don't want to be held up as poster boys, as it were, for their campaign. So what should the approach be? Because you're only going to redeem or reform through conversation. So how should the process be?
Look, the Queen was very good with her words. I think you can go there and be face-to-face with someone and still make your point in a way that doesn't get shoulders up, but says, look, we're not happy with this. We allow this in our country. And I think LGBT Saudis themselves have said, you know, sort of international pressure matters, and these high-profile visits don't really work unless there is some criticism there. So I think it's all about the execution. You know, nothing wrong in principle of having relationships, but you can't just go there and pretend everything's fine and that this stuff is not going on. That's the problem.
Do I take, lastly, then, that there are LGBT plus movements in Saudi? They're very brave individuals, if there are.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's not free of LGBT people. They're
there. No. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, sorry, please don't think I misspoke. I'm saying they're pretty brave individuals to campaign in a country where there are such restrictive practices.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the full depths of what that looks like there. Obviously, you'd have to be very careful when you're looking at a death penalty. And whether that's people that come here and then talk about it, we don't know. But yeah, I mean, very brave. But obviously, you know, we're talking about it today. So I guess in some respects, you know, him going there has brought this conversation up. But it's not ideal.
Grateful for your time, Lewis Oakley, broadcaster, LGBT plus campaigner. Co-host the podcast, Bisexual Brunch. You might want to check that out. If you've views of Saudi Arabia, I think someone who's just lived in Saudi Arabia, get your views on that. Certainly, a lot of you want to tell me how you would clean up politics, because having said that, A, I accept full responsibility, Sir Keir Starmer went on to tell his rebellious, or perhaps formerly rebellious, colleagues that he's going to clean up politics. We'll continue with that. And to prove we really are a global show in every sense of the word, we're off to Iran. as it is reported that there is a fresh wave of dissent and protest ready. What happened to that beautiful armada that was sailing down to Donald Trump and his instruction of them to keep the dissent going? Have we turned our eyes on them? And why no protests in the streets, I wonder? 9.30, breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari, here on LBC News Time. Dominic Ellis.
Sir Keir Starmer is hosting a meeting of his cabinet after surviving his most damaging day yet as Prime Minister. Sir Keir told a meeting of his MPs last night that he's not prepared to abandon his mandate after resisting calls to resign. Buckingham Palace says it stands ready to support the police if it's approached about the conduct of Andrew Mountbatten Windsor. Officers are assessing new claims he shared confidential reports from his role as the UK's trade envoy with Jeffrey Epstein. Andrew denies any wrongdoing. And bin workers in Birmingham have voted to continue taking industrial action in their long-running dispute over pay. Unite says its members overwhelmingly decided to extend their walkout past local elections in May and into September. LBC weather cloudy for most, with spells of rain falling heavy at times, drier in the south to start. A high of 13 degrees.
This is LBC.
When an offender is released, the probation service keeps them on track, so they can find a place to live, which gives them the stability to say no to old habits, making them more likely to attend their supervision meetings. And all of that ripples out to make the community a better place to live. Hello, mate. Search probation service jobs to find out more. An extraordinary job done by someone like you.
You're soaked from the rain, trains delayed, everything feels like a slog. And you're fighting the urge to reach for your vape. Don't let nicotine cravings ruin your quitting goals. Nicorette Quick Miss Mouth Spray starts to relieve smoking and vaping cravings in as little as 30 seconds. Make 2026 the year you quit and enjoy freedom from smoking and vaping with help from Nicorette. Quitting made real. Nicorette Quick Miss Mouth Spray contains nicotine. Stop smoking or stop nicotine vaping aid. Requires willpower. Always read the label.
At Pets in a Pickle, we know what it's like welcoming a new pet into the family. Whether it's a curious kitten or a wobbly-legged puppy, they're cute, they're chaos, and sometimes they get themselves into a pickle. That's why we offer fuss-free pet insurance policies with unlimited video call access with First Vet. So the only thing you have to worry about is keeping them away from your favourite vase. For pet insurance policies as unique as they are, visit petsinapickle.co.uk.
You plan a holiday, you plan a commute, meal plans, career plans, even workouts need a plan. So doesn't it stand to reason that your money has one too? Because the sad truth is, if it doesn't, it's just sitting there, barely growing, if at all. That's why you need a money plan, and Quilter can help. It's a lot easier to stick to than a workout plan. Money needs a plan. Quilter. Pensions, investments, advice. Find out more at quilter.com.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
We're going to hear from you, Tyler, with your views on how to clean up politics and Sir Keir's involvement in a moment. But let's talk about Saudi Arabia, a country I've never visited. Of course I'd like to see. I'd like to see virtually everyone on the planet before I die. What's it actually like? Well, Avani is in Wickmansworth and joins me now. Thank you very much for phoning in. Avani, you lived there. When? How long ago? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. I lived in Saudi Arabia, so my dad was working out of that when I was 13. I'm currently 17, so 4 years ago now.
Right.
And first I was very sceptical of the idea, I'll be honest with you. I was like, oh no, for the way it's been portrayed to me in the media, it's a really unsafe country. It's nothing like the UK. It's not developed. It's not safe. And the country's corrupt. However, going there myself, that was my initial views, but going there and experiencing and growing in the country and seeing how the country's developed, it's opened my eyes, and it's actually completely different to how the media portrays it, and that's what I want to share to
please.
Other listeners.
I really want to hear. Come on, particularly as a 17-year-old, as a young woman. Tell us more.
So, in the UK, normally, I feel very uncomfortable going out at night, and I thought it'd be even worse in Saudi Arabia. But I could walk the streets myself at 11 p.m. with my friends, my girlfriends that I made out there. And I'd regularly go out with my mum and we'd go swimming, and it was so, they respect women so much there, which is so different to how it's in the UK. There's a lot more respect and compassion, and there is actually a lot more tolerance to expats as well. So it's more And it's developing at such a fast rate. And you turn around and all these new things are growing and new ideas are being created. And it's just a bit of fresh air, which is something that I'd really like to see in the UK. But unfortunately, that's not happening. And with the current scandals going on, I mean, there's scandals everywhere. So I think with Prince William going over there, I don't think it's right to say, oh, look at Saudi Arabia. I mean, conversely, they could say, look at the UK. I mean, we're not as great ourselves.
I mean, this is really intriguing, not least because of the years, such formative years, 13 through 17. Did you always feel free, though, in Saudi? I understand you felt safe, and that's hugely important. If you address the fact that you, within reason, Avani, can say anything you like now about our Prime Minister or your Chief of Police, and there's not going to be a knock on the door and you're going to be arrested, do you sense you enjoyed the same freedom?
I'll be honest with you, you have to be more respectful.
Okay.
So,
Which is not necessarily a bad thing.
No, exactly. But I'd like to wear, you know, in hot weather, mini skirts and crop tops, which obviously you can wear in the compound and in your house. But when you go out, obviously wear longer skirts and more conservative, you know.
I mean, I don't want to be too personal. Are you allowed to show, like, any of your legs, or do you have to be completely covered up in Saudi as a young girl?
Obviously, I was younger then, so I think now I'd have to wear, like, my mum used to wear, like, you know.
Trousers.
Kind of. Yeah, linen trousers, cotton trousers, or long skirts. But I could kind of wear knee-length skirts and get away with it there.
So here's the trade-off, and only you know, because you've had the benefit, is the undoubted safety that you feel there. The trade-off is you don't have the same level of freedom. You can't, should you so desire, walk down to the corner shop in a miniskirt. Is the trade-off worth it?
I'll be honest with you, now that I'm looking at university, I think it actually is worth it. Like, if I'm thinking I want to go to university at Cambridge, and if I'm thinking about it, I feel so much more safer there, and that will help me have a safer life, free of trauma. So, yeah, I think it is worth it.
Do you mind asking, what did Dad do that he was over there for a few years?
He worked for the central bank, SAMA.
And what was the... If people were to say to you, or when you came back to your see your girlfriends here in the UK, what was the one abiding memory you took from four very formative years there?
I think it was, I used to have quite a few friends out there, and actually my friends in the UK kind of dumped me when I got back, because I was out there in the holidays, and so when I came back, I think they were quite envious. They didn't believe me when I said it's so, you know, it's new out there, it's fresh. They didn't believe me, so I think I formed my new friends at Sixth Form College, but it's so different, and I really applaud them out there for what they're doing and how they're growing their country.
Brilliant. What do you hope? Did you say you're looking to go to Cambridge?
Yeah.
Okay, what are you going to read? Do you know yet?
I'd like to do PBS, Psychological Behavioural Sciences.
Wow. With a view to doing what as for a living?
I'd like to be a clinical psychologist and set my own practice.
Fantastic. Well, you sound a very determined young woman. Thanks for sharing so much, particularly those key years for any teenager living in Saudi, 13 through 17. Avani, I have enjoyed our conversation. Thank you. Best wishes to all your family. We'll go global again. We're off to Iran in a moment. But Tyler in Derby has been hanging on for a long time. This is the conversation with which she started the hour. Keir Starmer's assertion. I'm going to clean up politics, but how would he do it? Tyler, how would he do it? Good morning.
Hello. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, go ahead. How would he do it, Tyler?
That's great.
Yeah.
Okay, so, yeah, again, I think the first thing, ultimately, is that they have to ban, like, personal gifts. I'm not talking about, like, state gifts. Obviously, you know, if the Sultan of Oman wants to give the Prime Minister a ceremonial shield. And obviously
that's paperweight or something.
That's retained by the department. That's fine.
Yeah.
You know? But when, you know, Keir Starmer himself has taken over £100,000 worth of gifts. He's repaid £6,000 worth of them.
Right.
But that's still £94,000 worth of gifts, personal gifts.
Right.
It stinks of sleaze. And that's the problem, is how can anyone take him or people around him remotely seriously when they take all these personal gifts, which no one else really is allowed to. Even if I took a very small gift.
Where are you getting, just lastly, where are you getting those figures from?
That was from the official parliamentary declaration, and obviously there's plenty of reports about it from mainstream media as well.
I think they're not all from overseas, though, are they? That some of these are like, this is the Lord Ali scandal, of course.
It still stings. It doesn't matter if it's illegal or not. It's not conducive, I think, to people to have trust in the government or ministers.
No. Okay, I see what you're saying. Sorry, I'm sure it's my fault. I misinterpreted you, but this includes Of course, there were gifts of concert tickets, clothing, glasses, accommodation. That alone was more than 20 grand. That's how we get to 100. OK, Tyler, I'm on it. Thank you for your input. Let's see if others agree with that. Let's go to other matters, and we go to other countries. Why such silence over Iran? Now, it's reported that a representative, the Iran expert of the International Crisis Group, Ali Vaiz, says the Tehrans now have bludgeoned the streets into silence with exemplary cruelty. It is also reported a second wave of protests is believed to be planning, with, again, reportedly police exhausted by weeks of unrest. Now, the figures are truly shocking. Even the government itself agrees to around 3,500 people having lost their lives. Other groups that in the past have been shown to be pretty accurate, and bear in mind every single figure, these are human lives, says it's more like 7,000. Outside organisations report a figure of 36,000. Additionally, I should tell you, 50,000 people have been arrested, some of whom will be never seen again. You may recall President Trump talked of a beautiful armada on its way to the area and told them to keep protesting. And yet, what happened? Where are the demonstrations in the streets? Let's bring to the conversation Dr. Lale Tangsiri, who's Iranian human rights activist. Thank you very much for coming on. Doctor, what do you understand to be the situation back home with any friends or family you have there? Morning to you.
Good morning, Nick, and thank you very much for having me this morning. The situation is really, really sad because, unfortunately, with everything happening still in Iran, the coverage has disappeared from the world news and the media. Sadly, every day there are kids being disappeared. The ones who were captured on the IRGC's cameras, the same IRGC that for many years in the UK we have been fighting to get them on the terrorist list. Despite every week us being at Downing Street, number 10 Downing Street, demonstrating, shouting, pleading for them to put them, prescribe them, nothing has still happened. So these people, they've got their cameras everywhere. They're arresting the kids, they're taking them to prisons, and they are torturing them. Personally, I would say every Iranian has got some family, some relative who has been engaged in this situation. I've been living outside of Iran for about 40 years, but still, I've got family there. I have an uncle who was shot there, and my uncle had to come home and get the bullets removed out of his body by my auntie, because people can't go to the hospitals. They'd be arrested, or they'd be having a bullet straight into their head, and they would disappear. The bodies are disappearing and nobody's finding them. Another family member of mine, 23-year-old student, psychology student, he has disappeared. Today is day number 10. So this is after all the uprisings on the street. The uprisings, they died because we have had a promise by President Trump that we are going to help you. And where is that help? People trusted him. People trust politicians as, you know, somebody who gives their word, and we rely on them. They came on the street and no help whatsoever. What's happening? Does nobody care about Iran? Does Iranian lives not matter at all?
I cannot understand why there appears to be such indifference or lack of concern. How long do you think the protesters can continue, Doctor?
The protests will continue because every day there are children being disappeared. There are people who are now here finding the bodies of their dead. So how could we forget? There is nothing between us and this brutal, ambitious regime. Out, you know, the Persian Iranian diaspora, every day of their life outside of Iran, 10 million of us, so a size of Sweden or a Scandinavian country, we are living in exile. Every day there is protest. We are writing to the politician. We are asking for help. Our people have been held hostages in Iran, and we really need to do something about it. Next week, on Saturday, 14th of February, there is the security conference in Munich. Thousands and thousands of Iranians, including myself, are heading to Munich to support our Crown Prince Reza Pahlavi, which will be there and holding his speech in the conference. And we are supporting him because the people of Iran are shouting for his help and calling him to come and lead the country.
And lastly, do you see the Crown Prince as the full leader, or just as what we might call a caretaker or an interim leader until proper democratic elections could be put in place? What is, as and when you get the country back, what is the future as you see it, Doctor?
We see him as a full leader. For 47 years, he has been, he hasn't been disappointed of what happened, the mistakes people made in 1978, what was prescribed by Western countries for our country to have an Islamic commie, collaboration to have the Shah's regime come down. So we absolutely trust him, but he is a very, very democratic person. And as soon as he comes to the power, it is going to be the elections that will speak for the people of Iran, who is going to run the country.
Doctor, can I ask you to hold on the line after I say farewell? Because I'd like to talk to you either on Friday, prior to you going to Munich with your colleagues, or perhaps on Monday, after you've done your demo. We'll talk to my producer and we'll figure it out. So thank you for your time now. We'll either talk before the weekend or talk after the weekend, after you go after that security meeting in Munich. Dr. Lale Tangsiri, thank you for that. We'll take calls on that. Also coming back to how to clean up politics here in the UK. Just turned 9:46, actually. LBC News headlines. Dominic Ellis.
Sir Keir Starmer's hosting a meeting of his cabinet after surviving his most damaging day yet as Prime Minister. Buckingham Palace says it stands ready to support the police if it's approached about the conduct of Andrew Mountbatten Windsor. And bin workers in Birmingham have voted to continue taking industrial action in their long-running dispute over pay. LBC weather, cloudy for most, with spells of rain falling heavy at times. A dry morning in the south, a high of 13 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. There are long delays on the A40 eastbound heading towards South Ruislip. It's following an accident and those queues stretch all the way back past Hillingdon. Also, the delays continue around Albert Bridge. The bridge stays closed both ways for the emergency repair works. It's especially slow going northbound over Battersea Bridge. Also on the North Circular Road, it is very busy southbound towards the Redbridge roundabout. That was after that car broke down earlier. It's been recovered for a while, but it's still very slow. On the Underground, there are severe delays on the District Line between Whitechapel and Upminster, and severe delays on the Metropolitan Line. This is between Baker Street and Aldgate, and London North Western are still suspended between Watford Junction and St Albans Abbey.
Coming up at 10 on LBC, James O'Brien.
Sir Keir Starmer lives to fight another day. Week, month, years? What do we actually want from the PM? And why does coverage of Epstein continue to ignore his victims?
James O'Brien at 10. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, what you thought you were getting may not be what you ended up with. From unexpected site fee increases, running costs, a huge depreciation in value, many owners feel they've been missold. If you think this might be you, holidayparkadvicecentre.co.uk could help you receive the compensation you're entitled to. Text ASSIST to 78900 to find out more. That's ASSIST to 78900.
Call Nick Ferrari now, 0345 6060 973, LBC.
I'm Leah and this is my NHS story. I could just feel my body didn't feel right and my GP referred me to CDC. Had some blood tests done and within 24 hours I had my results. And that just reassured me that I was being taken seriously.
The government is opening new community diagnostic centres with many already available 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. So the NHS can be there for all of us when we need it. Find your closest one at gov.uk/NHS Fit for the Future. Available England-wide.
Go where umbrellas are for cocktails. There's still time to get up to £300 off city breaks in EasyJet's Big Orange Sale. Or get flights from £28 one way. EasyJet. Get out there. Selected dates and flights. Limited availability. Holiday sale ends 3rd of March. Min spend and ATOL protected. T's and C's apply.
Idle money chills in your current account. Parked in front of the telly. Wanting a snack. Yet too lazy to move. But thanks to Monzo, busy money got up early, automatically split your paycheck into pots, rounded up your purchases into savings, invested your interest into ISAs, oh, and has already written itself a to-do list for tomorrow.
Monzo, the bank that gets your money moving. UK residents aged 18 plus, Monzo personal account required, capital at risk, T's and C's and fees may apply.
Every day, the noise gets louder, deadlines tighter, commutes longer, opinions stronger, and social media fakes get harder to spot. You need concise, verified, easy access to the stories that matter. You need the Bulletin app, trusted news from The Independent in a simple, bite-sized format. Download Bulletin today on iOS or Android. Bulletin, trusted news for seriously busy people.
Things are really heating up in the country's smallest house.
Dad!
Squealed Mia Mouse.
We could save around £100 by setting the boiler flow temperature to 60 degrees.
And turning radiators down in rooms we don't use,
interrupted Mo.
Yes, Mo.
Turn them down, not off, said Mia.
Plus finding and blocking drafts,
said Mo.
Should save enough to increase our allowance.
A little saves a lot. You could save around £100 a year off your energy bills with three tips at gov.uk/cleanenergy.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Let's talk about those Iran protests in Iran, but sadly, certainly none here in the UK. Jonathan's in Hornchurch. Why might that be, Jonathan? Good morning.
Hello, hello, good morning. I've just got to confess, I haven't heard the full show today, so okay. I just want to make sure that I'm clear on what it is that you're kind of saying is that people have protested for the Palestinian people, but we're not for the Iranian people.
Yeah, why isn't Olivia Colman narrating some video and Dawn French making wholly inappropriate gags and Ken Loach making declarations? Why might that be, do you suppose?
Well, I think the thing here, Nick, is that you're relying on a fallacy in your argument that you're comparing apples and oranges.
Well, surely the death of thousands of people is worthy of demonstration.
Oh, that's right. I mean, so could you tell me how the state of Iran was formed and how the state of Israel was formed? Can you tell me?
I don't think I want a history lesson. I really want you to address either you care about thousands of people, including, as we heard from someone who has family still there, children being vanished, irrespective of history lessons, which we can go through, but either you care about that, which is happening today, and it happened yesterday and will happen tomorrow, or you don't. So which is it?
Well, you can care about both, but you have to do different things for both, because they're very different situations. Well, because I'm a British citizen, I'm here in Britain, and I marched last year. I wish I had been able to make more marches for freeing Palestine. Mm-hmm. And I could do that because I can protest against my government's actions in supporting the suppression of the Palestinian people's rights.
But hold on.
I can get out and
Britain has agreed that were Netanyahu to come, he'd be arrested.
No, absolutely. But we've been selling arms and giving weapons and politically supporting Israel. And the British media supports Israel's actions.
Find a lot of people who question the level of support from, say, the BBC. I don't know if that's supportive.
But when it comes to Iran,
surely people dying, whether they die in and around Israel or they die in and around Iran,
Absolutely. Is
hugely important.
It is hugely important, but me,
so why the distinction? Why not take to the streets?
Because taking to the British streets is going to do absolutely nothing to convince the Iranian government to do anything. I didn't take to the streets in Britain to make the Israeli government do something.
You honestly think they would be shaking in their boots in Tel Aviv because of demonstrations in London?
No, that's what I'm saying. I wasn't on the streets for the Israeli. I was on the streets in Britain to say to my British government, stop supporting these actions. Start standing up for the Palestinian people.
But why not start standing up for the Iranian people?
We already are.
In what way?
Well, we are.
Why aren't we lobbying? Donald Trump talked about a big, beautiful armada heading down to the region, and then that talk just seems to have dissipated. I mean, that was, I think, 2 weeks ago. Meanwhile, probably thousands more have died, but there's no protests.
So, because my government isn't able to...
Well, it's able to talk to Trump, isn't it? I thought we had a special relationship.
Yeah, but we can't make Trump do something. But what I can do is I can say to my government, which is why I was marching Palestine, stop supporting these actions against Palestine. They already don't support the actions against the Iranian peoples.
All right. I think we should have demonstrations, say, start supporting those protesters and start calling on Donald Trump to perhaps deliver on the assurances that he gave. Jonathan, interesting the distinction you make. Let's see what others make of that if we have an opportunity to go global, because we're coming back home. We want to clean up politics, so says the Prime Minister. Steve's in Newcastle. How is that to be achieved? Good morning.
Morning, Nick. I think there are three steps we should take, and I think they're simple and straightforward. The first one might not be universally popular. I would increase MP salaries to a significantly higher level, but with the condition that no other job is permitted. So you're not allowed to be a non-exec director of a water company or whatever.
Right. Can you write a newspaper column?
I suspect I'm probably good, isn't it? It'd be very interesting.
No, not you personally. I'm so sorry. Could an MP continue to write his or her newspaper column?
No. No, no job at all. No,
why
no,
not?
Nothing.
It's quite interesting to get the perspective of these people.
No,
isn't
no,
it?
Because they can do that through bulletins. They can do it through their PR function. No, you're an MP. That's your job. Do your job and get well paid for it. It takes away the chance of any kind of other pernicious influence. Second thing we do is we introduce PR so that votes matter. I live in a constituency in Newcastle where my vote is irrelevant. The Labour candidate will get in whatever they do, and she's completely useless. Okay, so that gets changed. And finally, we need to get hold of David Cameron's milk and water legislation on lobbying and toughen it up. And having listened to Tyler as well, I would include an absolute ban on personal gifts.
Well, of course, that was enormously inconvenient, embarrassing for the Prime Minister with the gifts he took from the Labour peer, Lord Ali. So I doubt that would ever happen again on that level for at least a few years. Steve, thank you. Let's go back to Iran and the importance, or perhaps lack of importance. We have to take on board what Jonathan said, the question of what could actually be achieved or the influence that would be had. My argument is if a death of children is death of children, deaths of children, surely. Ross Stan is in Kensington. Your point, Ross Stan. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Yes, I'm totally disagree with Jonathan. What we have to do, we have to ask our government to prescribe the IRGC as a terrorist group organization and follow the suit of the European Union. Mm-hmm.
That is direct action the United Kingdom government could take.
Yes, and follow the suit of every other Western countries, and then break the ties, financial tie, which they use as a killing machine.
Do you think, if Britain was to prescribe or ban the IRGC, as I think France has done and most developed European nations, most Western European nations have done, what would the impact be?
Yes, they will be, you know, the financial gain from the European will die out, and then the money, the funding for the killing will stop. And then without the money, they can't do that.
Why are you so motivated by this, Rostan?
Because it's just, you know, frustrating to see, you know, they make a difference between lives.
And do you have friends or family over there?
Well, we do have, and then as Lala said, every single one has been died. 17-year-old basketball player, which was one of my relatives, and then there is 200 children that died from, you know, from these 2 days, and then that's been confirmed by the school, and then there is a whole lot of school, like 200 kids only, has died.
And unfortunately, it appears, even President Trump, he has these promises, nothing actually happens.
No, he said the help is on its way and the people count on him. And they came out. Well, the brutal regime has killed 36,000 lives in 2 days. If you imagine that the expand of that in 2 days, it's something, you know, horrendous. But what could happen, they could help, it still could help to, you know, prescribe IRGC as a terrorist in UK, and they could help to kill, you know, to get rid of the regime.
And that's what it is reported, and they're very brave individuals. The next wave of protests will be about. Rostan, thanks for getting involved. You were the last caller. If you missed today's show, listen back on our free Global Player app or the LBC app, where you can stay up to date with all the latest news, videos and opinions. Download the app for free from your app store now. That's it. James O'Brien's the other side of the news here on LBC. I'm back with you tomorrow morning from 7. Meantime, stay safe.
Thank you, Nick. The time is approaching 10 o'clock and the Starmer drama, has been replaced by Karma. I can't carry on with that. What else? Farmer? I don't know. Anyway, it would appear that the moment has passed. It looked pretty dicey at about 1:30 yesterday, when a politician who, if you don't live in Scotland, you could be forgiven for never having heard of, led calls for Keir Starmer to quit Downing Street. And, you know, in that moment, I felt something somewhat unexpected crystallise. I realised that despite, obviously, a terrible time being had by all, I was quite relieved when I realised that it wasn't going to happen this time, that the ball was not going to drop. But it led me to ask myself one extraordinary question that I will ask you after this.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock. Sir Keir Starmer's hosting a meeting of his cabinet after surviving his most damaging day yet as Prime Minister. He told a meeting of his MPs last night that he won't walk away, despite growing calls for him to quit. Sir Keir's also facing reports of another resignation from his team of senior officials. Cabinet Minister Ed Miliband refused to say on LBC whether Sir Keir's cabinet secretary is about to step down.
I'm not going to get into Chris Wormald. Look, the big picture here is all of my advice to my colleagues, above all, is focus on the country, not on ourselves. And it's not just my advice, it's the collective will of the Labour Party that we saw yesterday. And dare I say it, Nick, I think that's what a lot of your viewers and listeners will want us to do.
Buckingham Palace says the King's made clear his profound concern about the allegations against his brother, Andrew Mountbatten Windsor. It says officials stand ready to support police with any investigation. The former prince has always denied any wrongdoing over his links to Jeffrey Epstein. Birmingham's bin strike is set to continue until at least September in their long-running dispute over pay. Workers have voted to carry on their industrial action in the latest ballots. Arne Kassab is from the Unite Union.
We've knocked on over 20,000 doors across Birmingham, and it's absolutely clear that the sympathy with the vast majority of people is with the strikers. They can see that working class people cannot afford to lose those types of sums. What they're seeing all over social media is the council claiming that there's absolutely no problem, that the rubbish is being cleared, when we all know that's an absolute and utter nonsense.
Birmingham City Council maintains Unite has rejected fair and reasonable pay offers. A survey suggests most graduates would vote for a political party that promised reform of the student loan system. Campaign platform Rethink Payment says 84% of people would be influenced by such policies. Ministers insist it is balanced, but campaign groups warn that graduates' debt interest is spiralling. And flood warnings are in force for almost 100 areas in England. There's no sign of a prolonged dry spell for at least a week. The warnings mostly cover the south, the Welsh border and the East Midlands. In the city a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading down 27 at 10,358. The pound buys $1.36 and €1.14. LBC weather, cloudy for most, with spells of rain falling heavy at times. A drier morning for the south, a high of 13 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
Tesco Finest Alderwood Smoked Bacon, the foundation for the ultimate bacon butty. It's why only the finest bacon is traditionally hand-cured with Cornish sea salt, delicately smoked over alderwood and matured for at least 19 days. Layer it between slices of crusty bread and savour its richer flavour. All you have to think about is brown sauce or red. Make your everyday taste better with Tesco Finest. Majority of larger stores.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with James O'Brien.
It is 3 minutes after 10. You are listening to James O'Brien on LBC, where I feel that the spotlight has moved on and no one will be breathing a louder sigh of relief than Sir Keir Starmer. And so, for the record, am I. A deep dismay and disappointment with much of what has gone on, notwithstanding. As I explained to you yesterday, you know, you feel it in your bones when you have beaten your hopium habit, when you have managed to wean yourself off the hopium, off the hope that despite myriad disappointments, you still believe that things can get better. I had it with Trump for a very, very long time. And obviously, that's where comparisons end between these two
leaders, but the idea that Trump would turn out not to be a fascist or absolutely hideous, hateful and disgusting, all of those things, and everyone does it. Everyone did it. I presume it's a lot harder to do if you actually tickled his toes or you were cheerleading for him, or if you used that phrase that seems to have disappeared from discourse, Trump derangement syndrome, was a way that people who suggested that he was none of the things that he so plainly was were suffering from when they described all the things that he'd actually done. So it's oddly liberating when you cut the umbilical, as it were, to hope. And I haven't done it yet with Keir Starmer. I'm going to be completely honest with you. I realised during the course of yesterday's programme that probably rather like a cabinet minister, the unknown unknown was probably better than the known unknown. So the unknown known is how's he going to perform moving forward. The known known is how he's performed in the past. And the unknown unknown is what on earth would happen if he wasn't there anymore. And I was more spooked by the unknown unknown than I was by the unknown known. Or beg your pardon, the known unknown. Did anyone follow any of that? Keith, you all right? Keith's back after taking a day off because he always likes to enjoy the Super Bowl in full knowledge that he won't have to get up and listen to me the next morning. And that was an interesting moment. It wasn't an area of hopium, but it was just not yet able to let go. And I quite like that feeling. I you know, the idea that you still want the best for your country and therefore you still want the best for your government or your prime minister. It's hard to hold on to when things are absolutely heinous. Can I confide in you briefly? I've come up with a new word which goes alongside the four donkeys that we discovered last week. I don't know, but I can say it on the radio. Eleanor's a little bit worried, but I don't think it works because it would look great written down, but it's really hard to say. And I invented this word. So if I find it hard to say, it's highly likely, and I've practiced now. I said it 14 times in the toilet mirror just a moment ago. I was waiting to see what might appear. Four donkeys would appear behind me. So the four donkeys of the apocalypse are, obviously, Brexit, Boris Johnson, Liz Truss, and austerity. But I wanted something that was a little bit more expressive of just how awful those four things were. The four foundation stones of our country's current plight, whatever you may be reading in the Daily Telegraph or the Daily Mail or hearing certain people pronounce upon every day. Those four things, many of which people... Eleanor doesn't want me to say it. Oh, hang on, she hasn't finished writing it. Over and over and over again. Oh, yes, okay. So I can say it at least seven times, just not in quick succession. So rather than the four donkeys of the apocalypse, I thought that we could call it the four donkeys of the crapopalypse. Yeah? Is everyone all right? Ofcom okay? Love Ofcom. Is everyone okay? Keith, you all right with that? Is that okay? Yeah? Is that Eleanor? Everyone still here? Phone ringing? Yeah? They're probably all in a meeting, are they? I'll say it once more. The four donkeys of the crapopalypse. And I'm going to take advisement from Ofcom on how often I can say that in the course of an average show. Because I don't want to get anybody, least of all me, into trouble. So, there they are. And it occurred to me that because of those four donkeys... Brexit, Boris Johnson, austerity, Liz Truss. And because of the rise of populism, most obviously the massive fanboy, the biggest fanboy of all probably, for all four of those donkeys, Nigel Farage currently riding high in the polls. I don't know that we know what we want from a prime minister anymore, actually. And it's not, I don't think it's going to be a question that invites the same answer all the time. You know, at the end of a 15-year run of power, you probably would answer the question rather differently from how you would at the beginning of a run of power or halfway through an electoral cycle. Why does it seem that the country is so hard to govern at the moment? Alistair Campbell has blamed it on the media, but I'm afraid, go with him on this. It's obviously the case that our media is feral and febrile, and for the avoidance of doubt, a Labour Prime Minister is held to ridiculous standards compared to what a Conservative Prime Minister is held to. But that treats your fellow man and woman as if they're completely stupid. And we know that at least 52% of the population isn't. Keir Starmer's popularity rating is it's absolutely in the gutter at the moment. Has been for a while. He's shedding senior staff members like it's